Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. By Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. And by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome back to Van Dyke Field. Brad Venowitz, Jake Miller with you for Silver Streaks Football. With the Geneseo Maple Leafs in town and game one of the Western Big Six Conference. Geneseo 2-0 in the season, Silver Streaks 1-1. Five of the six traditional Western Big Six teams come into this week, this opening week of conference play, with a 1-1 record. Alleman, the only team in the entire conference that hasn't won a game, as they lost to Quincy Notre Dame last week. And the two newbies, Geneseo and Sterling, certainly not new to football tradition, but the two new teams to the Western Big Six are the two undefeated teams as we come in here tonight. These two teams played every year between 1992 and 1998, and Geneseo won all of those games. We're going to have the national anthem here. We usually try to time this around that, but the anthem is going to take us right down to zero on the pregame clock, so we want to make sure that we are here and ready to go for the kickoff when that time comes. And so we're in just a moment here. We're going to have the Galesburg High School Marching Band performing our national anthem, and then we'll have the kickoff between the Streaks and the Maple Leafs on this beautiful night here at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Your Galesburg High School Marching Band with our national anthem, and heard public address announcer Jeff Lamb announce Maddie Carlson was the raising the flag tonight. And that reminds me, the Silver Streaks volleyball team will be in action at home tomorrow. We talk about the expansion in the Western Big Six, and there's going to be a lot of triangular meets taking place on Saturdays throughout the conference season, and Galesburg is hosting that triangular tomorrow. And the Silver Streaks will play a traditional conference opponent, United Township, and then one of their new conference opponents, Sterling, tomorrow. So come on out to John Thiel Gym and support the Silver Streaks volleyball team tomorrow as they continue their expansion through this new Western Big Six Conference. All right, let's talk about the field conditions. We've alluded quite a bit so far here to the weather, Jake, and how perfect it is. And down on the field, I would imagine just about as good as it can be as well. And we lost you. Uh-oh. Well, we'll get this figured out here as the night goes along. Well, the weather's perfect But apparently our technology is not for the moment. Nothing? All right. Well, we'll just see how this... Jake, I might have you move down a little bit, maybe more toward the team, see if that makes any difference. I don't know. Everything was fine in the pregame. And now we don't have you at all. Everything was fine right after the national anthem. It's the band's fault, right? Must be the band. Nope, we still got nothing. Well, what the heck happened? Teams are just now out on the field. So the captains, that is. They usually do that during the football or during the warm-ups while the teams are on the field. But they're just now getting that taken care of. So they're meeting out there now. So everything's just kind of a little turned around here tonight. I got you now, Jake, by any chance? Nothing. All right, so Silver Streaks won the toss. They are going to kick. All right, the Maple Leafs come in again, 2-0, and it's a little bit unusual to see the Silver Streaks do that. Most of the time when they win the toss, we see them elect to receive the kickoff. Not going to do that tonight here, though. All right, so David Olivas has those duties. As he has been the man through the first few weeks. Back to receive for the Maple Leafs. Looks like Mason Jones and Kyle Hofer. For the Maple Leafs, standing at about their 11-yard line. And the kickoff a little bit short and received by Jones at the 15-yard line. Running to the right, slips through one tackle at the 31 to the 32-yard line, crosses the 35 and taken down to the 36. So that's where things will start off here. Again, the freshmen lost tonight by a final of 29-7. And the Silver Streaks varsity will try to turn on a long losing streak to Geneseo. The last time the Silver Streaks defeated the Maple Leafs, if I remember my history correctly, was back in the 30s. Handoff goes to the right side and a good push forward just across right tackle for the Maple Leafs across the 40 to the 41-yard line. It'll be a pickup of 5 on first down. B.J. Moser sat out the first game for the Maple Leafs. Came back last week, ran for over 150 yards. And takes the first handoff of the game to gain 5. They keep it on the ground, and straight up the middle it goes again. Shorter gain for the Maple Leafs on second down. Silver Streaks defense holding tight, still a pickup of a couple. And it'll be third down. We'll call it third and about 3 for the Maple Leafs. Silver Streaks defensively on third down have been fairly effective, boosted largely by Centralia going just 1 for 8 on third downs last week. So Galesburg defensively giving up third down conversions less than 40% of the time on the season. The handoff running right to left behind a couple of blockers. Streaks trying to close the hole, and it looks like the stop made right at the 45-yard line as they really strung that one out and prevented Geneseo from being able to turn the corner. And that's going to be third and one, and a good start for the Silver Streaks defensively in this contest to be able to at least force Geneseo into a punt here on first down, or on the first series of the game. So they come up to the line of scrimmage. Their punter is standing back there, and P.J. Moser does boot it away, and the Silver Streaks have to fair catch it back at the 23-yard line. Nico Delagiannis there, and he's the lone guy who's going to be returning punts now for the Silver Streaks. All right, let's see what the Silver Streaks can do offensively as they take over at the 25-yard line. All right, Silver Streaks were able to do some nice things offensively last week. Took them a while to get things going, but especially in the second half, once they got things rolling, it was nice to see their ability to make it happen, and let's see if they can continue that this week. Ayton to throw on first down to the near side to Drea Gypsyiaku. It's complete short of the 35-yard line, and it's a gain of 8 on first down.
You got me, Brad?
We do.
Okay, nice to be back.
Big assist to Jeff Lamb, our public address announcer.
That. Not sure what we got going on
there. No, just everything was fine. And
then it wasn't.
And then it wasn't.
Hey, but I get to sit up here with you now and eat the M&Ms that you and Sean always eat. Try not to get a red one here and poison myself.
I'll help you keep an eye out for
Appreciate it.
All right, second and two for the Silver Streaks. They need to get to the 41-yard line. The play goes right up the middle, and the stop made right at the first down marker as Ayton carries it and gets enough to move the chains. Just enough to move the chains, and boy, it's good to see the Silver Streaks on the first series come out and get that first down right off the bat like that.
Yeah, absolutely, and seeing that kind of soft, even front in front of them, and Connor saw, and I'm sure that was called, but Connor saw the spot to go and followed his center right up the middle. That's Reed Hawkins in front of him, snapping the football to him.
Of course, Drea Gypsyiaku has become the favorite target as he leans forward as the stop made and stretches the arm out to the 39-yard line to gain an extra yard at the end of the play.
So this is something they saw on film, right? They see that soft front in front of them, and it's something they're either trying to get them out of a defense, and they're going to keep sneaking. If they get 3-4 yards, you know, how many times is Coach Wash really ready to do that? But right now it's being successful. He gets back in the gun.
Second and 8 from the 38. We're just underway in the first quarter. 4.5 minutes gone. Ayton looking left, swings it to the outside, complete to Justice Gatson. And he gets the first down, wrapped up and taken down at the 47-yard line. A yard past the marker, but he got just enough, and the Streaks move the chains again.
You saw a little 3-by-1 formation there to the far side and threw the now screen to Justice Gatson, and he was able to catch it and turn it upfield and get 8 yards. This is positive drive here for the Streaks. Now we got 3-by-1 on this side.
Connor Ayton completed his first 5 passes against Centralia in the first half last week, and then his coach Mike Washabaugh was lamenting a little bit when we were visiting yesterday how it was a struggle from there on out, completing only 2 more the rest of the game. He throws one to the outside to his brother Grant, complete to the 50 into Geneseo's territory, stepping out of bounds at the 43-yard line, and that'll be a gain of 10, and the Streaks move the chains again.
This is a chess game. Right now coach is probing them, so we line up in a certain formation, and we see how Geneseo is going to cover us. Coach Wash has not called a play yet. What he's doing is just watching and seeing what's going on, seeing how they're going to line up, and then he makes a call that he hopes can take advantage of what Geneseo is doing.
Streaks looking to the sideline. Again, 40-second clock in high school football now, so lots of time to be patient. The 40-second clock starts as soon as the referee spots the ball. Now Aiden with the keeper right up the middle, behind his center Hawkins. Squirts to the outside, to the left, and manages to pick up another yard or two after the initial stop. And he carries the ball forward just across the 41 for a pickup of about 2.5.
Just taking what the defense has given them, and they're seeing something soft up front. And Reed Hawkins doing a great job. Sometimes when you get those quarterback sneaks and you know that behind you, the center gets a little antsy. And we haven't really seen in the first 2 weeks any issues between quarterback and center. And that's good, especially with the young center up front.
Coach Washabaugh was lamenting that also in that game last year with five bad exchanges between the center and the quarterback in that game last year. Dylan McBride runs right up the middle, inside the 40, close to the 37-yard line. He'll pick up four more, and now we'll see what the Streaks can do, facing third down of their own for the first time tonight. Talked about how defensively the Streaks have been pretty good on third down. Offensively, they've struggled. Less than 35% conversion rate on third down this season.
So we're going gun empty here. We got three to the bottom, two to the front. Now McBride will motion into the backfield.
Aiton back in the pocket to pass, throws it to the outside, and had Egyptiaco open 2 yards past the first down marker, but he overthrew him high, and that'll bring up fourth down. First incompletion of the game for Connor Aiton.
So kind of in that weird area of the field here, you know, a punt might not get you much.
Yep.
I would expect him to go here.
They do line up to go for it. Of course, Connor also can do that pooch punt. He rolls out right as they look to go for it. Lost it downfield to Grant. Complete. Aiton for the touchdown. Aiton to Aiton. First time they've connected for a score this season. And the Streaks strike first. Up 6-0. 5:22 to go in the first quarter.
That was a great little double move. A little hitch and go. I'm assuming he made that adjustment on the route. And just looking for the first down there and got a whole lot more. Now the Streaks kind of go into their muddle here as you'll see them, and then all kinds of options on maybe to go for two. They can decide to kick it. Let's see what the coaches call.
They ran this twice successfully against Centralia last week. Geneseo a little more prepared for it, so now the Streaks will all come back to the line of scrimmage and line up for the traditional extra point attempt from the left foot of David Olivas. Connor Aiton on the hold, gets it down, the kick is up and good, and the Silver Streaks lead 7-0. 5:22 to go here in the opening quarter at Van Dyke Field. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
It's that time of year. It's football, volleyball, cheerleading, golf, cross country, and soccer. It's time to represent. And Elite Ink is the source for screen printing, embroidery, promotional products, and accessories to outfit your school, club, or business. Want the coolest graphics and freshest designs? You're going to love working with Elite Ink. Design services are 100% free. If you can think it, they can print it. Visit EliteInkPrinting.com and click on Start Your Order for a quote. Get in the game with Elite Ink, where it's more than just a t-shirt.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Nine plays, 74 yards, 4 minutes, 8 seconds off the clock for the Silver Streaks scoring drive. A 37-yard touchdown pass from Connor Aiton to brother Grant. Second touchdown pass of the season for Connor. And the first touchdown reception for sophomore Grant Aiton. And there's their mom right down in the middle of everything. Of course, the yearbook advisor.
She usually is.
And getting some great pictures. And she had to be especially happy to watch that happen. The kick is received at the 10-yard line. Running straight up the field, Mason Jones bounces to the left side. Splits through some defenders. And a potentially big gainer stopped by the tackle of Hunter Davina at the 41-yard line.
Yeah, and that's a great tackle, too, because it got to the outside. Unfortunately, our contain got mulled to the inside of the field, and Hunter Davina makes a great and a very hard stick. Good field position, though, for Geneseo.
Jake, you might be just a little bit far to the right, but if you look right through the tree over there, you can start to see that big old orangish-yellow harvest moon starting to rise. We were talking about that before the game.
Yeah.
about my favorite kind of night to be watching football here at Van Dyke Field when that big harvest moon starts to rise in the east. All right, Geneseo counter. Trailing 7-0, and the Streaks read it perfectly, stuffing Mason Jones coming from the right, back around in the middle, and he loses two on first down.
That's the old wing tee counter play. You don't usually see that run on first down traditionally with these wing tee teams. Coach trying to change something up, obviously, and penetration will always kill the counter. And luckily, we had some good defensive line penetration up front with our middle guys.
Keep in mind that big three and out that the Streaks defense stopped Geneseo on the opening series, including a big stop on third and short. A loss of two on first down. They run left to right this time and into linebacker territory. Kyle Hofer bounces off the initial defender and then pounces forward for a couple of additional yards after the hit to the 47-yard line. It'll be third and four, coming up.
Yeah, everything you see, you'll see three backs going in three different directions. They all carry out their fakes. The Silver Streaks just have to maintain their discipline, maintain their gaps, and tackle their assignments. They can't get caught with all that misdirection going on.
Third and four from the Geneseo 47-yard line. Ball right in the middle of the field. Handoff right and a big stuff by the Silver Streaks as the handoff went to Hofer. And Galesburg was there immediately with two defenders right there to make the stop and wrap him up. And I think it was Blaze Purchase who made the initial hit. They lose a yard. It's fourth and five.
And that has an immediate impact on exactly what the coaches were talking about in the pregame. You saw a different front than you saw the play before. And that is confusing to the coaching staff on what they want to call. It's confusing to high school offensive linemen. And somebody went unblocked, and Blaze was able to wrap him up.
Maple Leafs to punt for the second time in this game. Streaks have held them without a first down up to this point. B.J. Moser back for the kick. Gets the left-footed boot away. The ball goes high up to the far side of the field, a directional kick toward the sideline. And the official walking forward. He'll mark it out at the 28-yard line, which is where the Silver Streaks will begin their second possession, 3:10 to go in this opening quarter.
And listen, things couldn't have gone better, right? We've got two defensive stops. We've got a score. We need to keep the foot on the gas here, and I know the coaching staff's thinking the same thing.
Last drive, a scoring drive, started at the 26, this one from the 28. Again, I know it's Jake Miller with you. Our thoughts with Sean Hickey, who could not be with us tonight, but he's helping us keep some updates on some elder scores around the area, and we'll get you one here as the Silver Streaks go right up the middle to the 34-yard line, and I'm liking the way the offensive line is controlling the line of scrimmage here early on so far.
Absolutely. We've just been so multiple. There we go to double tight wishbone, and here we go back into the gun with two wide receivers, one tight end to the top, and we're in the eye. So this is a part of his offensive plan.
Cannon Klein's first carry goes for six with a quick handoff to the right side.
It's like Vannerman there.
Positive yardage again for the Silver Streaks. A short gain will bring up third and about two, as Vannerman is the last one off the pile. Give him a third and one. So Vannerman picks up three, and the Streaks have some options here on short yardage.
Absolutely. You stay ahead of the sticks, and you can do whatever you want here. So we're going to keep the same formation, one tight end to the top. We see the players looking into the sideline here, and they're going to watch how the defensive front kind of forms up. We go toss
to the right side. McBride cuts it to the inside, wrapped up
he's
at the
enough. 40
to the 41-yard line, and he's 2.5, maybe 3 yards past the first down marker. And again, good to see the Silver Streaks move the chains. They were third and four on the previous possession, did not convert, but got the fourth down conversion for the touchdown. This time they do move the chains on third and one to the 41.
Just right now doing mostly whatever they want. We don't see big chunks except the touchdown pass, but like you said, we're making positive gains.
The score that we mentioned a moment ago, Knoxville 20, Illini West nothing at the end of the first quarter there. Minute and a half to go, first quarter here. Silver Streaks on top 7-0, and a new set of downs here from the 41 to the right side, weaving his way through some holes
good
and somehow
run.
Gets to the left side, and McBride shoots forward to the 45, the 46-yard line. I don't know, the hole wasn't there very much, but Dylan found it, and he picks up five on first down.
Yeah, he was contacted 3 yards deep in the backfield, and he was able to kind of shed one there and then just kept the legs going and fell forward. 5 yards on first down. Coach will take that any day of the week.
You betcha. Silver Streaks haven't broken off any big plays, but they did have one on fourth down with a 37-yard touchdown pass from Connor Ayton to Brother Grant, and with under a minute to go in the first quarter, facing second and five here from the 46-yard line. Fake handoff. Ayton trying to find his way to the left side and run down from behind as that one was broken from the very get-go. And Geneseo's defense got into the backfield with Jonathan Maxwell out of the linebacker spot and takes Ayton down for a loss of three. It'll be third and eight and maybe the last play of the first quarter.
Yeah, the coaches can let this run down if they want. And it looks like that's actually the option they're going to take. I think they're going to run this thing down. And what a quick quarter. You know, that's what you get when you've got one team that runs the football all the time and the Streaks are going to huddle up and let the final 15 seconds run down.
And they're just going to head to the sideline. So,
yep.
As Jake mentioned, a very quick first quarter. And the Silver Streaks lead it 7-0 after one. And we'll just wait for the formality of the final 5 seconds off the clock. And you're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Why does the living room go downhill?
Well, we saved a lot of money on the foundation.
There's some things that have to be done right to make sure your project turns out the way you want, like site prep, foundation, and concrete. So go with Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football tomorrow as Illinois takes on Eastern Michigan. Coverage begins at 10 a.m.
Follow the Illini all season long on WGIL.
One quarter gone. Silver Streaks leading Geneseo 7-0. And Galesburg now facing a third and a long eight, closer to nine here from their own 42-yard line. As we get ready to start the second quarter, but a very good first quarter to open up the Western Big Six Conference for the Silver Streaks. About couldn't script it any better. Now facing third and nine here, Galesburg 1-for-2 on third downs in this game, but this is the longest distance on third down that they have faced so far. Out of the shotgun, a straight drop. Now Ayton flushed out of the pocket, rolling left. He's going to tuck it in and keep it, bursting to the 50, sticks his arm out, but he's going to be short. As he ran out of bounds at the 49 and had to cross to the Geneseo 49 to get the first down. So 2 yards short and fourth down and two for the Silver Streaks.
We see a bunch of guys coming off the sideline here. So it'll look like a punt, at least initially. We are at midfield. I think with this start, though, it'd be prudent to go ahead and kick this thing down, play the field position game. Geneseo with nobody back at this point thinking the exact same thing. They're just going to play straight base defense.
Run up and a handoff.
He's got it.
And a direct snap made.
Yep.
And was that Grant Ayton who came running up, or was that Max Carr?
13. Is that Nico?
It was Max.
Oh, excuse me.
It was Max Carr who came running up of the three men back to provide the protection for Ayton out of punt formation. Max was right in the middle.
Oh, I think that was Nico Delegiannis. 13, that's Nico that came up and took the snack. I think he's the one that ran that forward.
And we don't have our replay tonight that we tried to utilize. Here's a flag down as Ayton rolls out right, throws it complete to the far side to Grant. Ayton gets a first down, slips a tackle, and this one's coming back as he's knocked out of bounds inside the Geneseo 25 to the 24. But this play is going to be negated on the first penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks. There's the hold called, and back it comes. So a big fourth down conversion for the Silver Streaks. And we talked when visiting with Mike Washabaugh yesterday, mentioned the possibility of some trick plays, and he said, you know, we haven't run any so far this year, and the opportunity really hasn't been there against Dunlap. Defensively, it was a struggle the whole night. Against Centralia, they really didn't need to.
Yeah.
But that was a big momentum boost right there. But let's see if the Streaks can overcome their first penalty of the night, which negates what would have been a big gainer on a big first down play.
Sure, and that holding was in the backfield, so we've got more than first and 20 here. We've got a lot of ground to make up. McBride motions into the backfield.
So out of the gun, Ayton, straight drop. Pressure is on, steps up in the pocket. Now trying to slip through some tackles and brought down back at the Geneseo 47-yard line. He'll pick up about four on first down. It'll be second and 17 upcoming.
Yeah, listen, and reluctant to let it go over the middle there, and I was kind of watching the defensive backfield, and Geneseo's playing kind of a shell, cover three. Looks like they're going to switch and move to now two high safeties, so you'll see maybe either cover four or cover two. He made a prudent decision there, decided to tuck it and live to fight another down here.
Ayton, modest yardage on the ground gain, but through two games this season, he is in negative yards rushing, so it's good to see him just picking up some yardage.
Got a
Here's
connection.
A pass play out to Grant Ayton in Geneseo territory, knocked out of bounds at about the 42, and that gives the Silver Streak some options now. They cut some pretty significant yardage off here and now face third and about five at the Maple Leaf 42-yard line.
Right now, Geneseo's having trouble covering the slot receiver, which is what Grant is running, and there's definitely a connection here with his brother. So Streaks are going to go big. The officials are blowing the time dead here. So Streaks go to two tight ends into the full backfield position, probably in preparation for the fact that this is two down territory.
Third reception of the night for Grant Ayton for 58 yards, including the 37-yard touchdown that has the Streaks leading 7-0 as we approach the 10-minute mark. Ayton drops the ball, and Geneseo recovers it back at the 46-yard line. Just came right out of Connor's hands, and Caden Davison was there to scoop it up and fall on it, and the first turnover of the night against the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, they were trying to run belly to the right, and they had it. They had it. Connor was trying to keep the football and run with a pitch back, probably just keeping himself, and somehow the ball was knocked out of his hands.
So first down Maple Leafs from their own 46-yard line. Of course, turnovers really the story last week in the Streaks' win over Centralia. They forced five takeaways from the Orphans. Streaks give it away here, their first turnover of the night. A little bit of miscommunication, back to pass, and the pass complete into Galesburg territory at the 46-yard line. The connection to Mason Jones for the first pass attempt and completion of the night from senior quarterback Jake McConnell, who started for the Maple Leafs last year as well, picks up eight here on first down.
Just making an adjustment up front, and you see Geneseo throw it on first down very rarely, but it's very successful there, and now second and two.
From 146 to the other 46. Again, the first pass attempt of the night, and it'll be second and two Maple Leafs under center. Handoff up the middle, skipping past one tackle, and the second hit made right at the 45-yard line, a yard short, and that stops the first down at least for the moment, as the handoff went to P.J. Moser, and he was the big man in the win last week with over 150 yards on the ground, and this is about half the length of a football from a first down.
Yeah. Interesting to see fullbacks line up in a four-point stance. You don't see that very often. What I mean by that is he has both hands down on the ground, usually something you see reserved for defensive linemen, but it's the Geneseo way. That kid's like shot out of a cannon when he gets going.
Oh. And Geneseo jumps at the line of scrimmage, and Mike Washabaugh hopping up and down on the sideline left to right, saw that immediately. And they're going to back up 5 yards now, and this has got to fire up the Silver Streaks defense. What a huge penalty potentially against the Maple Leafs on third and inches to now third and five.
That's something the Streaks have done under Coach Washbaugh, and they did under Coach Doherty too. And any third and short, fourth and short, you'll see our Streaks defensive linemen stem. They'll move right before the snap, and more often than not, you get the offensive line to jump offside.
Takes the ball back to midfield, third and five now. Man in motion, back to pass, straight drop. Throwing left, man open in man-to-man coverage, and he overthrows Nico Deligiannis and drops it right into the numbers of Kyle Hofer, and a first down inside the Galesburg 35 to the 33-yard line.
That was a perfect ball. He had pressure in his face, and Nico didn't have terrible coverage, although he did let the guy get behind him, and the guy just put it on the money.
17-yard pass, second completion of the night for McConnell. This one going to Hofer. And a big third down conversion for the Maple Leafs just when it looked like the Silver Streaks defense might be able to make a big stop again. The Maple Leafs move the chains for the first time tonight. And at the far hash mark of the Galesburg 33-yard line, 9 minutes to go in this first half. Streaks leading 7-0. Hand off to the third man on the counterplay right to left. Room to run up the middle. And now it's a foot race for Mason Jones. Cut back to the middle of the field and takes it all the way for a 33-yard touchdown.
Another misdirection play there for Geneseo, and you'll see this exact play go to the right end of the left. You'll see it another 10 times tonight. And, you get guys just looking the wrong direction, and guys not for one play if you don't play your assignment gap. that's what happens.
So Geneseo takes the Gelsberg turnover and converts it into its first touchdown of the night, avoiding avoiding losing their momentum on third and inches and having that 5-yard false start penalty. They came right back, got the first down on the third down play, and the very next play ran it in from 33 yards out. 8:51 to go first half. We're tied at 7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
I'm Will Stevenson. The 4-H season is getting underway. We'll talk with some of the Knox County 4-H leaders Monday night at 5 during Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL.
8:51 to go here in the first half. We're tied at 7 now. Geneseo puts together a four-play scoring drive, covers 54 yards in a minute and 23 seconds. And out of that wing tee formation, Mason Jones with a 33-yard touchdown run. The extra point ties it at 7. So here comes the kickoff now from Logan Hansen, who can kick
short.
It deep, but this one is very short. And it's received at the 25-yard line by David Vaderman. And he's upended across the 35 to the 36-yard line. So a short run back, but that short kick still gives the Streaks pretty good field position. In fact, better field position than they've had on the previous two possessions.
We watched him kick in pregame. He's got the leg. I think that was a little bit of a shank, a little mishit, but the Streaks will take it. So we give up the touchdown off the turnover, which is, you know, what a good Geneseo team should do, is take advantage of that. Now we got to get back on track here offensively.
Streaks taking their time, as Jake alluded to earlier. Play brought in from the sideline as the Streaks line up in the wishbone with Vaderman, McBride, and Cannon Klein, the up man. It goes to McBride, running left to right, trying to get
bouncing
to the outside.
It.
Gets to the corner, slows down a bit, and Geneseo converges at the 40. Dillon will still pick up about 4 on first down, as he just kind of held up there a little bit as he got to the outside and didn't open up. In fact, it closed for him.
Yeah,
still picks up 4.
That play sure isn't designed to go out there, but sometimes obviously you have to ad lib, right? It doesn't go as planned all the time. He got the corner, and Geneseo had great pursuit. The Streaks out of the wishbone now with 4 wide receivers, 3 to the bottom, 1 to the top. And they hand it off.
And they go to McBride, and he gets taken down for a loss back behind the line of scrimmage, so that one goes nowhere. Geneseo's gotten through there a few times here in about the last 8 plays, something we didn't see on the first couple of possessions, but starting to make the adjustments very quickly here.
Yeah, just about everything gained on the first down play was lost there in the second down play, as the Streaks now are going to face 3rd and 10. We see Aaron Carl get on the field here, as we'll bring a tight end to the right. We're going to go empty.
Nathan's been under more pressure, and good downfield coverage by Geneseo. Hasn't been able to find anybody open here. This time a straight drop. Now the pressure's on, and Ayton on the run. Block in the backfield frees him up to step up forward across 40. He'll step out of bounds, still a couple of yards short of the first down. Actually, he's going to be all the way back at the 41.
Yeah.
He's 5 yards short of the first down.
Yeah, this is an easy decision. You got to punt this thing away.
So he gets 5, but that's not enough. I don't know. Are you looking downfield at all on these plays, Jay? Because I'm not. So I don't know if he's just not able to find the open guy, or if Geneseo's coverage is just that good.
It looked to me like Dre had a chance at a catch there, but you know it's difficult as a quarterback to, you're running for your life. We got another punt fake here.
Ayton rolling to the right, and he's
going to be short.
Swarmed up, and he gets to the 45 yard line, but is a yard short, and that gets the Geneseo sideline excited as he runs for 4, but he needed 5, and the fourth down conversion attempt fails, and the Silver Streaks now give up the ball to Geneseo on downs with the Maple Leafs at the Streak's 44-yard line.
Yeah, that pump fake was snapped all the way back to Connor, and who just took off to the right, and he had some help out there. But Geneseo in good pursuit. They weren't having it either because there was nobody back to receive the punt.
So the Maple Leafs, again, second at the back. Streak's 44-yard line. Play to the left. Streak's stack it up for a gain of a couple to the 42. Not much there. Good job by the Silver Streaks defensively. Last guy off the pile is Mason Jones.
And that's the basis of the wing tee. You call that the double dive, and you just, it's not a read. It's just a whole bunch of fakes, a couple fakes. The quarterback can keep it. That time he gave it to the second back through, and the Streaks did a pretty good job. It's still a four-yard gain.
It'll be second at about seven. Marker about halfway between the 41 and 42-yard line. Again, the wing tee formation with a single setback, but then two wings to the left and the right, and it goes to the tailback straight up the middle for a gain up to the 35-yard line for a gain of seven. It'll be third and one.
Yeah, Moser doing a good job there of running through traffic. You know, the allure of the wing tee is that you have four individuals that can carry the ball at any point in time. And when you have, four athletes back there capable of doing it, it can be quite effective.
I can remember games back in the 90s when the Silver Streaks were playing these guys every year. They had three or four running backs who would be all-stars on just about any high school football program, and they just ran all over the place. It'll be third and one here. They go to the right side, and
Mosier again.
The stop made pretty much at the first down marker, just a little bit past, and as Jake said, enough. Moser's a big kid, 6'2", 200 pounds, just a junior. And you don't even have to see his number to know it's him when he's getting the handoff.
Right.
He's just
looks a little different than
physically,
everybody else.
Yep, he just stands out.
Yep.
So they move the chains on third down. And the ball spotted at the Gelsberg 34-yard line. After the Streaks gave it up on downs in their own territory. On the end around, get to the outside. It's Jones who's upended and pushed backwards, and a flag comes down at about the 32-yard line. And we'll see what this one is. Oftentimes in that territory with all those players all stacked up in there, it's a hold, and it is. And it was a short gain, and they'll take it back 10 yards.
Yeah, and that's exactly the same play that they scored their touchdown on, right? So that time we see obviously a little bit gap integrity, better gap integrity by the Streaks, and a fantastic tackle. You know, our defensive backs are forced to be tacklers tonight. They are not in coverage very often. We've seen two pass attempts so far, and they're going to be forced to be physical. And I think, both of these guys out here, Dylan's out on one edge, and Spinks is he out on the other side?
And Rakeen.
Rakeen is they're going to be physical enough tonight. Hopefully they're up to the challenge. This is Geneseo's version of trips to the bottom side.
Three to the
and
right.
Jet sweep.
But they hand off to the left side, and the Streaks read that one well. Kyle Hofer, the handoff, still on his feet and finally finished off as the Silver Streaks even try to get their arms in there. It was Nico Delagiannis who finished him off, and Nico with his hands in there trying to rip the ball away. If you were with us in the pregame, you heard Mike Washabaugh talk about that CPR strategy,
right,
and they were going for it there. Got the stop, and then once you made the stop, trying to rip that ball out.
Yep, and Max Carr is the first back. Here's the first linebacker in there to disrupt that jet sweep, and he didn't make the tackle, but he was able to string it out enough for his boys to come to his aid.
No gain, second and 20 for the Maple Leafs.
That should be a penalty. We got a guy run off the field out of the huddle. That should be a penalty, but the refs aren't seeing it, and now Geneseo calls timeout. That's a penalty that the officials have missed, and the coaching staff down at the bottom are going crazy about it.
The bottom from our perspective,
right.
So a little animus against the officials there for not making the right call. You want to explain that, why that's a penalty, what's going on there?
You can't break the huddle with 12 individuals. So Geneseo huddles before every play. They broke the huddle to go to the line of scrimmage, and one Geneseo player is sprinting off the field. There's obviously advantages and things that you could have for that. So that's a penalty, and the referees should see a bright white jersey sprinting off the field after they broke the huddle, and they didn't. Geneseo does call a timeout, but the penalty should have happened before that. They shouldn't have been allowed to do that. So that's a mistake that would have cost another 5 yards, but The Streaks still have them behind the chains here at 2nd and 20.
With the ball sitting on the near hash mark to the press box side of the field, right between the 41 and the 42-yard line of the Silver Streaks, 2nd and, well, I guess it's probably closer to 18, I guess, from where the ball is marked. 4:04 to go here in this first half of a tie ball game. Streaks scored on their first possession. Touchdown pass from Connor Ayton to Grant Ayton. Geneseo scored in its last possession to tie it up. Looking to take the lead here as we wind under 4 to go. On the naked bootleg, rolling screen out and then overthrown. And the hit made by Hunter Davina on the quarterback, Jacob McConnell, in the backfield. And I got to believe that McConnell felt the pressure of Davina there because he had a man open and he just really overthrew him.
And those two sophomore bookend outside linebackers, because Davina makes a play on the quarterback and Aaron Carl sniffed out the screen very early too. So it's nice to see those guys getting caught up. And, you know, they're only sophomores for so long. They've now played a bunch of varsity snaps. And these two kids are going to be fun to watch for the next 2.5 years.
So 3rd and long now. Geneseo has converted its last 2 3rd down conversion opportunities after missing on the first two. We're under 4 minutes to go in the first half of a tie ball game. Nathan Beneke splits out wide to the left for Geneseo. Now the players looking to the sideline, waiting for the play call, and now the Maple Leafs call a timeout again. So that's their 2nd with 3:59 to go in the first half.
One interesting score I just stumbled upon here during our timeout. Knoxville 32, Illini West 0 at halftime.
Wow.
Illini West was receiving votes for the top. You know, Knoxville's got it rolling there, and I got Coach Leptek I used to coach with is sending those scores in for us, as I'm sure he's there.
Want to remind you, coming up at halftime, even though Sean isn't with us for the game tonight, we do still have his weekly What's Good in Galesburg report coming up. And this week, Sean caught up with Galesburg High School North Principal Jason Spring, and of course his weekly visit with Galesburg High School Principal Jeff Houston. So we'll find out all the happenings at both North and the high school with the two principals, and we invite you to stick around for that at halftime, as well as the rest of our regular halftime features. Take a look at the first half statistics. We'll check some other scores, as Jake is doing throughout high school football from around the area tonight, and still hoping to get our technical issue figured out so we can talk with Coach Washabaugh coming out of the locker room. 3rd and long for Geneseo. They've used 2 timeouts in the last 3 plays. Lining up in the short gun, McConnell takes a snap, rolling left, gets good protection, throws it into the flat, almost picked off on the far side by Spinks. He knocks it down incomplete. Good defense by the Streaks.
So they run a running back from the right side of the formation to the left. He was open if he stayed in the flat, but the Streaks knew that he had a long way to go, so they were willing to give that up. He turned it up to run a wheeler out, and Rakeem does a fantastic job jumping the ball, and like you said, almost picked it off.
How about the Silver Streaks defense? After they gave the ball up on downs in their own territory, Geneseo has advanced the ball only 3 yards and now face 4th and 18.
Yeah, and, you know, they give up the score on the turnover, and when you have a fake punt that's unsuccessful, that's almost like a turnover. And so good for the Streaks to respond here and to not give anything away. They're going to be careful here with this punt situation. Nobody really back.
P.J. Moser does punt it away. Streaks watch it and let it go, and it takes
a
Geneseo
punt.
Roll down inside the 10 to the 7
to the
6 and noses its way almost to the 5-yard line before the Maple Leafs finally down it there. And with 3:43 to go in the first half, we remain tied at 7. And the Silver Streaks, with all 3 of their timeouts here, have pretty much the whole field in front of them to try to regain the lead at halftime here.
Very similar score. Another Western Big Six action, 7-6. Moline on top of Rock Island at the end of 1. Their game going a lot slower than ours.
Better believe a lot of eyes in the conference
tonight
on what Sterling and Geneseo will be doing, with Sterling opening at home against Alleman. And the Maple Leafs in their first Western Big Six conference game here on the road here at Galesburg High School in a tie ball game. The toss play, the sweep to the outside. Now McBride cuts it back, gets to the 10, wrapped up, falls forward to the 11, and he'll pick up 5 on a fairly conservative play on the first play on the series, deep in their own territory.
Yeah, with 3.5 minutes left, you don't want to get too crazy here and give the football back on a short field.
Nope.
So I think there's a perfect reason to call the run play. Like to maybe even see them do it again. If they get a first down, then maybe they can start thinking more aggressively.
Connor Ayton, the leading rusher in this game. He's carried the ball 8 times for 22 yards. That was McBride's 6th carry for 18. Nobody's really broken off a long one. In fact, the longest yardage on the ground is 6 for the Silver Streaks. They'd sure take another 6 here as the handoff goes up the middle, slipping out of the tackle. McBride gets to the outside and dragged down from behind at the 15-yard line. He'll be a yard and a half short of the first down. We thought he was going to get it.
Yeah.
Somebody made a sure-handed tackle back there to prevent him.
Yeah, they made a tackle that probably saved another 15 to 20 yards.
Uh-huh.
The belly to the left was not there. Dylan, though, is able to cut it back to the right, and that cutback lane is so often there. Good vision for him, and just one tackle to beat, and it would have been a big one. So third and short. Big play here, and the Streaks aren't hurrying at all, and I think that's a smart decision here, especially with Geneseo already burning 2 timeouts.
Tie ball game, 2:20 to go and counting.
Hand
off to the left, and that one goes for a loss. So the Streaks are not able to convert on third and short, and now Geneseo uses its final timeout as McBride. Well, the officials are signaling toward Galesburg, so this...
No. That would be
surely
wrong.
Not. Okay, now he's correcting himself on the far side of the field.
Yeah.
I thought, that makes no sense.
No, we would not do
but
that.
But, yeah, so Geneseo uses its final timeout after McBride loses 3, and it'll bring up 4th and 4 for the Silver Streaks. You got to believe they'll show pressure here. We haven't seen it really yet
because
the Silver Streaks have, of course, run a couple of trick plays out of punt formation, but I got to believe they'll be bringing it here with the ball back at the 12.
Yeah, I don't know. We tried belly again to the left. Same play as we tried on second down, and it was stuffed there again. So, yeah, you won't. You probably aren't going to see a fake punt here of all time. But you'll see the Streaks lining up here with Connor lining up in the quarterback position. 4 wide receivers. I think he's going to catch it quick, and he's going to pooch it.
Yep, he's in short drop.
Trying to draw him off sides is what he's trying to do.
Yep, did a little head and shoulder fake there.
Mm-hmm.
Streaks did not snap it. Now he does it again, and now the Streaks are going to call a timeout. So they tried to draw Geneseo off, and I wondered if they might try that earlier, actually, because we haven't seen the Silver Streaks try to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time, really, we've seen them do it at all this year. And I thought maybe they'd do it earlier. Instead, they did that direct snap to Max Carr. That went for a first down, and then Connor just tried to run it straight out. A punt formation, and that one did not convert.
Well, Coach Wash knew he was going to call a timeout before he kicked this, so you might as well give that a shot. You know, there's nothing hurt there. Even if we jump off sides, it's only a half a distance penalty. So you might as well give it a shot. We had 4th and less than 5 and see if they give us a cheap one.
Geneseo able to maintain their discipline.
That was my bad, Jake.
That's okay,
I'm still
man.
Here
you
messing
know,
with these microphones, and I unplugged you instead of the other. we'll get it figured out, hopefully, here along the way.
Sure. Just trying to keep a good man down. That's all.
So the Silver Streaks not able to draw Geneseo off, as Jake said. Called that timeout. And now Ayton back in traditional punt formation. He's all the way back at the goal line to try to get this one away. With 2:14 to go here in the first half, and
no
Geneseo
pressure.
With no timeouts. Gets the ball, low line drive, and that should take a roll, and it does, but it was toward the sideline, and it's going to be out of bounds. I lost track of the official. Yep, 38-yard line.
Not the best punt. They brought no pressure at all. Connor was expecting it, but he got one off, and Geneseo has 2:08, but they have no timeouts. We know that they have a kicker that kicked one, what, last week from 40?
40.
So, you know, they're almost there. He needs to get to about the, you know, about the 23 in order to make that. So he's still got about 15 yards before they're in field goal range.
Well, they have been able to throw the ball effectively. That's what they did on their scoring drive earlier. Back to
pass.
McConnell gets under pressure. Davina wraps him up and takes him down at the 42-yard line for a loss of 4. Hunter had him in the grasp, and he did not let go.
Good coverage sack there, because I was watching the defensive backfield, and the Streaks were ready and didn't let anybody behind them, as that's what the coaches are screaming at him right now. Geneseo goes no huddle in the shotgun.
And a quick pass to the left side. They do complete it and get out of bounds inside the 35.
Yeah.
Well, right at the 35-yard line. So after the loss of 4, on first down. They pick up seven more. And that stops the clock getting out of bounds with a minute 40 to go.
The Streaks playing really soft coverage there. And so that you know, eight-yard gain was pretty much given to them.
And very quickly, third down, third and seven. Silver Streaks need to hold here. But the clock stopped, a minute 40 to go. Short drop, quick pass, far side, complete,
dropped.
And then dropped at the 30-yard line, incomplete. And that'll be fourth down. Intended on the far side of the field to Nathan Beneke, who was open, and the ball was right into his numbers. He was about 3 yards short, yep, of first down, and then he just dropped the ball. So it's fourth down very quickly.
So here's the concern now. Genesee has run curls their last two plays in a row, and our defensive backs have made great breaks and been there right about the time the ball has arrived. You got one thing you got to look out for here on this fourth down play is watching them run the curl and go.
Yep.
That old double move, pretty much what Grant caught them on was the double move, and we don't want to give up the same problem here.
So fourth and seven for the Maple Leafs. This is their first attempt to go for it on fourth down, rolling right. The quarterback looking downfield, going long, and he overthrows everybody, incomplete inside the 10-yard line, and a flag comes down. That's going to be pass interference, I think, against the Silver Streaks. That was overthrown. There was no chance anybody was going to catch that ball, and the flag down at the 16-yard line. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why you throw the ball deep, because you just might get an interference penalty. And that's what it's going to be, and it's going to give Geneseo a new set of downs by penalty with a minute 31 to go. The Streaks were going to get the ball back. There was absolutely no reason for that penalty. The ball wasn't anywhere near the intended receiver, and it's first down on the 20-yard line now.
And now they're in field goal range, right?
Based on what he did in the first week, anyway.
Right. A field goal from here would be about 37 yards.
And again, no timeouts for the Maple Leafs, but from the 20 in a minute 31, suddenly plenty of time. Quick pass to the outside, complete.
Hook and ladder.
Hook and ladder, and it'll be for the touchdown. Complete at the 13-yard line. And the trailing man coming in from the backside, Hofer, got the little toss after the completion. And Geneseo runs a little trick play to perfection.
Yep.
And they take the lead with a minute 25 to go before halftime.
Listen, I mean, you got to give props where that's a fantastic play call to run that on first down. You wouldn't be expecting the trick play to be on that down.
Not yet at that point.
It took me by surprise. It took everybody by surprise, and they executed perfectly.
So the extra point attempt here now for Logan Hansen. Gets it up and through, and Geneseo takes a deflating for the Silver Streaks. 14-7 lead with a minute 25 to go in the first half. Hofer finished it off after the pass completion and the little toss play down the far sideline, and it's 14-7. So when you're trying to come off a 1-8 season, when you're struggling, how often do we see something like a stop made but a penalty negating it, keeping the ball in the offensive opposition's possession, and they take advantage of it?
Yeah, and you said the right word, deflating. I mean, it just right before the half like that. Luckily, the Silver Streaks will get the ball first coming out of half, so there's not that two-for-one situation. And with a minute 25 and your timeouts, we got two of them left. A good return here can offer some sort of chance of getting us down into field goal range too.
Silver Streaks did a lot right defensively there, but the pass interference penalty negates everything the Silver Streaks did right to keep Geneseo from even getting a first down. But the pass interference play on fourth down, and the next play, Geneseo punches it in and leads it 14-7 with a minute 25 to go in the first half. And the kickoff from Hansen coming. Streaks have two deep inside the five. Down the middle of the field. It'll be taken at the seven.
By Justice
and running
Gatson.
Upfield, Justice Gatson gets to the 25, cuts upfield, trying to get between a couple of defenders. Good run back to the 40-yard line. That gets the crowd energized a bit. And the Silver Streaks have two timeouts remaining with a minute 19 to go in the half from their own 40.
And you're in good field position, so it's okay to be aggressive here because it's not going to be like you're giving up the football in, you know, deep in your own territory. So I would look for them with two timeouts to give this a go.
You haven't seen the Silver Streaks try to really...
Again, soft coverage over the slot. Grant Ayton has nobody on top of him right now.
Yep. But Connor looks left. Pass complete to Dre Gypsyako. Stutter steps, gets across the 50, and steps out of bounds inside Geneseo territory at the 49-yard line. Picks up 11, and the Streaks take only 6 seconds off the clock. Only the second completion or reception of the night for Dre Gypsyako, the Streaks' leading receiver, coming into the game. Connor Ayton with 86 yards passing. First down from the Leafs' 49-yard line. Short drop. Now Ayton rolling right. Looking. Pass thrown underneath. Intended for Vaynerman. Underthrown incomplete. Stops the clock with a minute 8 to go. Second and 10 coming.
Yeah, trying to do a little much there. He had the flood route to the right, so you got your deep middle and short. He could have taken the short route. Nobody was covering Justice Gatson on that, but he tried for a little bit there with hitting the middle route.
Again, Silver Streaks. We'll talk at halftime. Sean Hickey visiting with Jason Spring and Jeff Houston, the two principals at Galesburg High School North and Galesburg High School. That's coming up in a little over a minute. To the near side, Gypsyako comes back for it with a reception, but well covered by Geneseo up the near sideline. Gypsyako knocked out of bounds at the 46-yard line for a gain of only 3, and it'll be 3rd and 7.
So interesting here on what you do. You got timeouts, but you still have a minute left. If you throw the ball incomplete here, you got to think, are you going to punt it? I don't know. You might even think about handing it off and see if you can get the first down that way so the clock runs.
3rd and 7, Silver Streaks haven't completed a third down conversion since their first attempt in the first quarter. Short drop, Ayton to the far side, complete to Gatson, slips out of the tackle and gets the first down to the far side of the field at the 35-yard line. He was wrapped up a yard and a half short of the first down marker back at the 40, but he managed to fight out of it, and he advances the ball to the 35 and a first down for the Silver Streaks. Timeout called by Coach Mike Washabaugh. 56.6 seconds remaining. Streaks trailing by a touchdown and a new set of downs at the Geneseo 35, a gain of 11. Heck of an effort by Justice Gatson.
He did not have the first down when he caught it, and that was all second effort and yak yards after the catch and broke the hip tackle and made his way to the sideline.
Connor Ayton, efficiency with his passing game tonight. Just two incompletions in 10 attempts. For exactly 100 yards now. Three receivers. Second completion to Justice Gatson. And the Streaks have a first down at the 35-yard line with just under 57 seconds to go in the half, trailing by 7 and one timeout remaining. Gatson will line up to the right. Grant Ayton will also line up to that side of the field. To the near side, it's Gypsyako closest to the sideline. Vaynerman lining up in the flat. And Dylan McBride to the right of Connor Ayton in the short gun. Good protection. Slings it to the near side. Gypsyako complete at the 30 to the 25. Tripped up at the 24-yard line. And that'll be right at the first down marker. And the Streaks move the chains again on another gain of 11.
They brought it back in line time. The Streaks offensive line with a fantastic job of picking up the blitz. And they clock the ball. Connor gets under center, clocks the ball. Running very little time off the clock.
Stops it immediately, so 2nd and 10. Technically an incompletion. Time management here, the key for the Silver Streaks. With 43 seconds to go, one timeout remaining. So still plenty of time with the ball just inside the Geneseo 25-yard line to make something happen here.
Yep, with one timeout, and they're making great strides with these short intermediate routes. 8 and 10 yards, letting playmakers break tackles. And we definitely seem to have the athleticism advantage on the outside.
Two to the right, two to the short side of the field. That's the left side. Fake handoff, back for it. Dre
Gypsyako
again gets inside the 20, down to the 16-yard line. Credit Geneseo for covering the sideline. So had he gone that route, it wouldn't have been as big of a gain. But obviously the key is to stop the clock. It'll be 3rd and 2, and the Streaks have to run it. Down to 20 seconds to go. Connor Ayton rolling right, has a man open in the flat and underthrown, and Justice Gatson has it off his fingertips. It was a catchable ball.
Yes, it was.
And it was just thrown a little bit low. Gatson had his fingers on it, and he just couldn't reel it in, and it's 4th and 2 with 17 and a half seconds to go.
Yeah, I want to go back a play before, and, you know, I'd like to see Dre get out of bounds there and save one or two yards, maybe not get as many yards. But if he gets out of bounds there, then we can call a play. that last play we just ran on third down was whatever they practice as their fire play. They'd have to get up on the line and run a play. So now we're going to see, and Coach Washball is going to call a timeout.
Final timeout, yep.
Lined up here for the field goal, which would turn out to be a 33-yarder.
Which Olivas can hit.
Yeah.
Had a field goal attempt against Centralia in the first quarter last week that got blocked by the primary defensive concern that the Silver Streaks had in Centralia. Yeah. The one guy they were most concerned about just came right through the line and blocked Olivas' attempt. That's the only field goal attempt the Streaks have tried this season. They trail by 7 here with 17 and a half seconds to go and at least trying to get it back to within 4.
Yeah, I don't know. You play the percentages here. You've got 4th and 2. You've been moving the ball fairly well here. You got a 37-yard field goal or 33-yard field goal, right? Gosh, that's a coin flip, you know. Mm-hmm. Looks like
and the Streaks have no timeout, so they can't
right.
They can't try anything funny here. With like they've tried a couple of fake punts earlier in the game. One
yeah.
worked, one did not. So this will be a straight lineup field goal for Olivas from the near hash mark, and he's a left-footed kicker. Good snap to Ayton, gets the ball down the line drive, has the distance, but he misses it to the left. So the Streaks come up empty and still trail by 7 with 12.7 seconds to go. I like the way the Streaks were able to move the ball down the field. Maybe some inexperience, in terms of not being able to, you know, make the right decision, as you were alluding to a little bit ago, Jake, just to stop the clock and give him a little chance to set things up a little bit more.
Yeah, and listen, Dre's a playmaker. We saw that
for
happen
sure.
Week one. You know, he's the Streaks' leading receiver for a reason. And you know, I don't know. I just that's a personal thing for me. I mean, maybe this coaching staff would, you know, just still encourage him to get what he can get. I would like to see him sacrifice a yard or two and get out of bounds so that we can make another play call there.
So Geneseo will have the ball at its own 16-yard line and can anticipate that McConnell will just take a knee here with a 7-point lead, and they do, and that's how the first half will end. So just about everything you would expect from a Western Big Six Conference game. 14-7 at the half. Streaks score in the first quarter. Geneseo scores twice in the second quarter. And when we come back, Sean Hickey's weekly What's Good at Galesburg High School interview, and he'll take a look at what's good at Galesburg High School North with Principal Jason Spring and with Principal Jeff Houston of Galesburg High School as well. That's coming up at the half. When we come back here to Van Dyke Field, we'll take a look at first half statistics, run through some scores, and try to catch up with head coach Mike Washabaugh at the break. 14-7 Geneseo. This is Galesburg High School football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you by Arby's in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the side so you can see it. By Sabrina's Bridal and Prom in downtown Galesburg, where you're always one of a kind. And by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Kehoe Eye Care has expanded and now offers state-of-the-art vision care on the square in downtown Monmouth. Meet new doctor Alexandra Bray.
I have a lot of experience with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and pediatrics. I really like working with kids. It's fun to get the little ones excited about the health of their eyes. I'm now accepting new patients, and I'd love to meet you.
For the most thorough exam available, make your appointment at Kehoe Eye Care, now in Monmouth and Galesburg. Schedule online now at KehoeEyeCare.com.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Protecting the quarterback on the field is a lot like protecting your home with the proper insurance coverage. If he or your home gets sacked, chances are you might not win the game. Hi, I'm Mark Kratz with Craddy Insurance, your Savea Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. If disaster strikes, don't be caught off sides with the wrong coverage. Our money-saving auto-home discount is the perfect play. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Savea Mutual Insurance Agency are the best protection in the area for your team.
Is your friend a True Blue Cubs fan?
Your coworker is a diehard Cardinals fan?
I'm Lon Dunn, the Executive Director of the United Way.
And this is Scott Bloom of F&M Bank. For a donation of $25, United Way volunteers will put a 5-sign package in the yard of your choice.
For $50, we will bring our A game and place 12 signs. Text Cub Card 2019 to 41444 or visit our website at unitedway-knoxcounty.org.
If your business utilizes equipment with air filters and dust collectors, let Midstate Manufacturing save you money. Filter Service Center, part of Midstate, specializes in the sale and service of every kind of filter, and they clean them too, which provides 95% efficiency at half the price of replacement. Get on their delivery route today.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm. All it takes is one mistake before you're on the hook for a fortune. Call today to protect your family's assets. Clear skies expected for this evening with a low of 54. Tomorrow, sunny, high 81. Then for tomorrow night, becoming partly cloudy, chances of showers and thunderstorms through the overnight hours and a low of 64. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 68 degrees here on WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to the Galesburg GSU Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, we have Principal Jeff Houston with me, but this week's spotlight is on GHS North. With us tonight, we have GHS North Principal, Mr. Jason Spring. Mr. Spring, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. Glad to be here tonight.
Now, we are in the 11th year, I believe, for GHS North and its operation. Could you tell our listeners about the mission of GHS North?
Sure. It's hard to believe we're in our 11th year. This is my ninth year as principal. North was created 11 years ago to be a dropout prevention school and to help raise the graduation rate, because we saw a need in our district. The graduation rate was decreasing and more kids were dropping out. And the district said, we've got to figure out a way, you know, to help these kids stay in school. And we've done that. And you know, the keys to our success is my tremendous staff and their ability to build relationships with kids. And then once you've built a relationship, you can help those kids be successful.
Okay, and I think that, you know, you hit on this a little bit, but I want to dive in a little bit more. But as an educator, you know, there's a certain amount of pride that comes with watching students succeed, primarily through graduation. What are your graduation numbers, and how has North been able to maintain these numbers over the years?
Sure. In our first 10 years, we've helped 391 kids graduate high school. And it's pretty neat. You know, graduation for any kid is a big deal for their family and for them. But at North, you know, a lot of our kids have been told their whole life that, you know, they weren't going to be successful, they weren't going to graduate, because maybe in their family no one had graduated. But at our graduation, I can tell you that the auditorium is always filled with pride, because some of our kids are the first in their family to graduate. You know, a lot of our kids have been thrown curveballs in their life, and they've had to overcome a lot of obstacles. But, you know, because of my staff continuing to work with them, you know, and the kids' perseverance, you know, we're able to help them, you know, succeed and become, you know, hopefully productive citizens.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple of times about your staff and how valuable they are. And in years past, I think you guys may have had some shortages of personnel in there. So what is the role of the staff and how they've been able to assist students with the graduation?
Sure, Sean. You know, a couple years ago, about 3 years ago, we were short staff. We couldn't find a math teacher, and you know, there's a teacher shortage, you know, in Illinois and in other states, but, you know, the last couple of years we've been blessed to be fully staffed, and it takes a special person to work with kids, you know, who are behind in credits, have attendance issues. We've got some kids with some anxiety issues, but we use the term all in. My staff is all in for our kids, and we'll really do whatever it takes to help them. You know, my staff comes early, they'll stay late, you know, they'll just do whatever it takes, you know, to help our kids succeed, and I'm just super proud of them.
Sounds great. Now, one of the things I think that is important for you as the principal of GHS North is sustainability, you know, and how that's going to apply to North, looking at future years or how it's going to maintain its structure there. But how have local partnerships helped preserve some of that integrity for GHS North?
Sure. You know, Sean, a few years ago, I'm thinking 3 or 4 years ago, every year we were kind of on the chopping block because of some budget cuts and things from the district. But, you know, in the last couple years, we've really felt the district is committed to our program, and we've built some tremendous partnerships locally here. And I'm going to speak about three of them. The first one is a couple Lutheran churches in town. First Lutheran Church does what's called the birthday cake outreach, where every kid gets a homemade birthday cake on their birthday. And, you know, some people out there listening might think, well, you know, most kids get a birthday cake, but when you have kids that sometimes don't live with their families, or, you know, they're couch surfing night to night, sometimes their birthday gets overlooked. But these lovely folks at First Lutheran, every, you know, when it's a kid's birthday, if a church member brings them a cake, take at school, and we take their picture, and it's a neat thing. Another partnership is with Trinity Lutheran Church, and they've adopted us for the last several years during the Christmas time for their angel tree, and they also provide food for our food pantry. And that's one thing I'm really proud of is our food pantry that we have. It's offered for GHS North kids as well as Galesburg High School kids. We've even had parents stop in and utilize that. And the last group I want to mention is the Altruso Women's Group, and they've been a longtime partner with us, and they provide funds for guest speakers to come in and talk to our kids and provide activities. We've had they've done things like interview skills. They've went and took some late girls out shopping for interview clothing. They do a cooking class. They do lots of other, you know, fun activities, kind of more life readiness type things, you know. And we're getting ready on the 19th to have our first activity with them. It's going to be a cooking class from 3 to 5, and we're looking forward to what they're going to teach our kids. So we're just blessed.
Sounds good. Again, that was Mr. Jason Spring, the principal of GHS North. Thank you, Mr. Spring, for your time.
Thank you, Sean.
Now let's talk with Principal Jeff Houston about the past week of school and what excitement lies ahead. Mr. Houston, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again this week.
Okay, as we always do, we talk about the highlights of the previous week and what we have coming up. So what were some of the highlights that we had this past week here at GHS?
Well, we had that college and career fair, and after we've had it, there was a nice steady flow of parents and students learning about colleges and college entrance, and there were several like business partners here as well that was talking about local opportunities for our kids if they wanted to go right into the workforce, and then there was a lot of military here that was represented for kids if that's the way they choose. So, you know, it's kind of an emphasis right now that moving forward, we're going to try to push, you know, what I call the three E's, whether it's entrepreneurial or enlistment or enrollment. And, you know, a kid should be involved in one of those three things as they move through the high school.
And if I can say something about that, too, was, you know, my wife and I have a junior in high school, and we had gone to that. We went to it last year as well. And it's really a fair that it's an opportunity for anybody in the school to go to. It's not just geared toward college students or anything like that. It's anybody can go, and a great opportunity for parents to get information as well.
Absolutely. And Ben Bredenmeyer and his team of counselors deserve all the credit down there. You know, he does a lot of planning. He does a lot of outreach work and pulls it off. It's just a really nice night for us. And it was the same night we had a volleyball game, so there was a lot of people in the building.
Okay, and I talked with Mr. Bredenmeyer, who is the counselor here at GHS. He will be on later in the season when we talk with him about the college month and that. But now, in talking about this, what else do we have from this past week that you want to discuss?
Well, we had a meeting with our steering committee meeting with the district where we've been working towards what our new 712 concept is going to be and what the experiences are going to hold for our GHS students moving forward. And, you know, it's going to start to happen rather quickly starting this summer with some things that will go on the docket, as Dr. Aspen explained last week in our football halftime show. So, you know, just trying to figure out the things that we need to know moving forward and try to do some forward thinking in that to make sure that we don't miss something.
All right, sounds good. So what do we have coming up next week that's going to be big for GHS moving forward?
Well, we've got a band booster meeting next Tuesday night. That's in the school cafe. You know, the band looks just awesome this year. I've seen them now at the halftime last week, and it was phenomenal. They looked great. They'll be at Geneseo competing next Saturday at the Invitational up there. But what we're really excited about is the start of our tutoring program and our 21st Century Grant program, and that starts next week. It's a program that serves not only just for kids who need help academically, but the 21st Century Grant also enriches some of the process for our freshmen and sophomores. It really focuses in on those transition years for kids who are coming from the eighth grade to the high school. We noticed that our numbers and our data shows that we need to enrich that experience for kids to get them invested in things here at the high school, and that 21st Century Grant is designed to help kids do that. And that's a grant that runs all year long. It ran through the summer this year, and there was a lot of activities for the kids that went on the summer. One of my favorite was a slip and slide day that they did this summer. And you know, it's just it's a way of having some fun here at the high school and getting kids connected to our school, which is one of our school improvement goals.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, and go Streaks.
That's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to GHS North Principal Jason Spring and Principal Jeff Houston for the time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against Geneseo on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The top stories of the day and so much more. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
An 18-year prison sentence was given to 49-year-old Gerald Turner Thursday in Knox County Court on a single count of child porn possession. The Knoxville man had nearly two dozen counts of child porn and sexual assault dismissed as a result of a plea deal. Turner was sentenced to 18 years in the Department of Corrections, but could be eligible for parole as soon as 2029. Suburban Chicago police say first responders have made 18 water rescues following heavy rains. Lake County Sheriff's Office spokesman Chris Covelli says most of the rescues Friday morning involved drivers stranded in their vehicles, entering deep water on flooded roads in Waukegan, Gurnee, and Wadsworth. And an Illinois man who rigged a shotgun to a rope attached to the door of a shed on his property has been convicted of first-degree murder in the death of another man. A Union County jury convicted 48-year-old William Wasman Thursday of both first-degree murder and aggravated battery for the death of Jeff Spicer, who tried to enter the shed. I'm Cameron Lyne. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Jane Metzler. Right now it's called Tropical Depression 9. Tomorrow it becomes a tropical storm and gets a name as it bears down on the already battered northwestern Bahamas.
We could see tropical storm force winds hitting the very spot that got crushed by Hurricane Dorian. Less than 2 weeks ago, winds of anywhere from 30 to 70 miles per hour are on the way, along with up to 5 inches of rain.
Fox's Steve Harrigan, actress Felicity Huffman, reports to prison October 25th to serve a 14-day sentence for paying $15,000 to bump up her daughter's SAT scores. The judge telling her,
"For your rehabilitation, you can move forward and rebuild your life after this. Without this sentence, I think the community around you would ask you why you got away with this."
Fox's Molly Line Huffman, the first parent sentenced in the college admission scandal. America is listening to Fox News.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
If your bathroom makes you cringe, but you don't want to deal with the mess of a remodel, I have the quickest, easiest solution possible. At Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, we can cover your tub, shower, and walls with a custom-fitted acrylic bath system. It won't chip, crack, stain, or fade. Plus, no more grout. You can pick from a variety of colors and styles to fit your taste, and in just a few days, you'll have a transformed bathroom. I'm Neil Thomas. Give us a call and get your beautiful new bathroom at 342 Heat.
Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Galesburg Nissan's lifetime warranty is just that. Unlimited time and unlimited miles. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. Yes, for life. We just won our third consecutive Nissan Award of Excellence, recognizing large sales volume and superior customer satisfaction. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home of the lifetime warranty.
RP Lumber is your source for anything from lumber and building materials to light bulbs and paint. RP believes buying materials should be the easiest part of any project, whether you're a contractor or a do-it-yourselfer. Come visit them today and experience the RP difference.
Stay connected with local news headlines in your email inbox with the WGIL Morning Brief. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Teams back out. Going through warm-ups after halftime. A 14-7 Geneseo lead over the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Let's take a look at our halftime statistics brought to you by RP Lumber. Visit RP Lumber and experience the difference. For the Silver Streaks, 54 yards on the ground. Geneseo, 69 yards on the ground. So pretty even in terms of the team numbers there. For the Silver Streaks, I guess here's the difference. Nothing really jumps out. Silver Streaks don't have a single play on the ground that's racked up more than 6 yards. Geneseo, meanwhile, does have the 33-yard touchdown run from Mason Jones, and then Kyle Hofer on that hook and ladder play, which led to their second score of the night, had a 13-yard run as Hofer got the ball tossed to him on the lateral after the pass completion was made to Mason Jones. Jones is the leading rusher in the game for Geneseo with 32 yards. Hofer has 21. That accounts for the two touchdowns. Connor Ayton, the leading rusher for the Silver Streaks, 22 yards on 8 carries. Dylan McBride also 8 carries for 19 yards. Ayton has 118 yards passing, 10 out of 14 in the game, including a 37-yard touchdown pass to his brother Grant. Grant Ayton is the leading receiver in the game with 58 yards on 3 catches. Dre Egyptiaco has 5 receptions for 40 yards, and Justice Gatson the other 2 catches for the Silver Streaks for 20. Not a lot of penalties in this game, but the penalties we've had have been big. Most notably for the Silver Streaks, a 15-yard pass interference penalty on a 4th-down incomplete pass by Geneseo that would have given the Silver Streaks the ball back. Instead, the very next play, Geneseo ran the hook and ladder, and that is the difference in the game right now. 14-7 Maple Leafs, both of their scores coming in the second quarter after the Silver Streaks scored on their first possession of the game, which ended up being, I flipped my page over, a 74-yard scoring drive that the Streaks took 9 plays and just over 4 minutes off the clock. So maybe that's a little bit of the frustration here for the Silver Streaks, I guess, to watch them come out and run such an efficient first possession of the game and have just struggled to get much going, at least on a long-term basis since then. And Galesburg will receive the second-half kickoff, as we talked about right before halftime. Jake, I know you were looking up some scores. Do we have anything to report here on our halftime scoreboard?
Yeah, I've got Moline 21, Rock Island 14 at half. I've got Knoxville at the end of 3 up 40-0, so you get the running clock for the rest of that game over Illini West. The Orion-Rock Ridge matchup, Orion 19, Rock Ridge 0. Those were both the first two opponents of Monmouth Roseville, both very, very, very good teams. The Mercer County Stark County matchup today is at 14-0 Mercer County. That's what I got from around here. I've got some Peoria stuff. Washington's up 17-7 on Limestone, and a whole myriad of other scores.
But saw Princeville up 28-7 on West Central too. That's our halftime scoreboard, brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. A deep kick on the opening kickoff, backing up Gatson to the 4-yard line, sprints forward to the 15, far side of the field, just slipped and fell as he crossed the 20-yard line, close to the 25, where his forward progress comes to an end.
And we're going to start further back than that, because if you saw the hanky come in,
I
think you're going to see a block in the back. I don't know which streak did it, but I saw the block occur, and I'm pretty sure that that's the call that's going to happen. They're going to call holding.
I was hoping I didn't see it. I thought I saw it fly out of the corner of my eye, and then I couldn't find it on the field, so I was hoping it really wasn't there. Unfortunately, it was.
They didn't see the penalty I saw, and the holding penalty is a little less severe than the block in the back.
So the Silver Streaks will start this first possession of the second half at their own 15-yard line, trailing 14-7 as we get the third quarter underway. First Western Big Six Conference matchup for the Geneseo Maple Leafs as they come to Galesburg. Lead by a touchdown. We start the second off on a pass play to the far side. Complete to David Vaynerman. Steps inside a tackle and taken down right at the first down marker at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, the short passing game is definitely the
they're going to give it to him.
The part of the Silver Streaks offense that was most successful in the first half, and they go right to it. I have seen Geneseo making a little bit of an adjustment on how they cover it up. They're moving their safeties out of the middle of the field to do so. And so there's, some advantages you can take for that. Now we can start running the slants and see if we can take advantage that way.
Two wideouts to the near side, two tight ends set for the Silver Streaks. Hand off to Dylan McBride, and he slowed down at the ankle and then brought down short of the first down, or for short of the line of scrimmage. It'll be a loss of a yard on first down, brings up second and 11. Somebody had him by the ankle, and Dylan was trying to fight out of it, but then he got finished off.
Tried to slip the tackle again, met in the backfield, and just getting things going offensively on the ground has proved to be a bit of a struggle again tonight.
9 carries on the night for McBride. 3 of them have gone for negative yardage. Brings up second and 11 here. We're just underway in the third quarter. Short drop by Ayton. Fires one to the far side and off the hands of Dre Egyptiaco. Ball was thrown right into the midsection, and Dre just couldn't bring it in. Would have been a short gain, but it falls incomplete instead.
Yeah, it would have been a short gain, but it would have made third down a lot more manageable. Third and 6 is a lot better than third and 11. So got to look those things in. The ball was right on the money. Got to catch the ball and turn upfield and get what you can. I think he tried to get upfield a little before he hauled that thing in.
Streaks will send two wideouts to each side of the field, top and bottom. The ball at the hash mark on the far side of the field, so that's the short side. Ayton looking to the wide side of the field and coming back for the catch. Justice Gatson slips, has it at the 30-yard line, but that goes as a gain of only six, and it'll be fourth and five with the clock rolling under 10:40 to go.
Yeah, the ball was a little underthrown, and he had to go down to his knee, get his hands, get those meat hooks underneath the football there, and he just, you know, wasn't able to get up and make any kind of a forward progress to get the first down, so the Streaks are going to have to punt.
Third pass reception of the night for Justice Gatson for 26 yards, and Ayton to punt. Nobody for Geneseo back, so Connor lets it go. End-over-end kick, bouncing at the Geneseo 47, and then takes a big Gillsburg roll down to the 30, the 29, rolls down to the 27-yard line where its momentum stops. Nico Delagiannis picks it up there. And a good net by the Silver Streaks on Connor Ayton's punt. Maple Leafs start at their own 27. 10:03 to go, third quarter, leading 14-7. Well, no first down for the Silver Streaks on the opening possession. You might remember Geneseo started the game that way. By the end of the half, Geneseo was leading. So let's think of it in those terms.
Sounds good. Well, let's see what kind of adjustments. Geneseo is still going to come out and do what they do. Let's see what adjustments the Streaks make.
Hand off out of the left side of the wing tee goes to Kyle Hofer, running to the far side of the field. Gets hit at the 30-yard line and then falls forward close to the 32. That'll be a pickup of five on first down.
And that's kind of the Geneseo version of the old hand sweep there. That's like a rocket sweep. And second back, instead of cutting in off tackle, is going to go outside. And
second and five for the Silver Streaks. Second and five for the Maple Leafs. Hand off to the second man through, and they go to Moser. And he's stacked up and pushed backward for no gain. It'll be third and five. Under 9:15 to go here in the third quarter. Maple Leafs leading.
We're still early here in the second half, but this sure feels like a big third down here. And, you know, you make a stop here, you've got a great chance, a good field position, and got to get something going offensively again.
Third and, well, looks like Moser advanced the ball a little bit. The stick moves forward, so it'll be third and a long four here for the Maple Leafs. Man in motion, they hand
second
off
back
to Hofer again, gets to the right
good
side,
stop.
Hit, and the streak stopped him short of the first down marker. He got to the 35, maybe the 36, but a gain of four. It'll be a couple yards short of the first down, maybe a yard and a half. So Geneseo got close, but didn't get enough, and it'll be fourth and one. Now be careful here.
Yep.
Even though it's deep in their own, well, not deep in their own territory, but at their own 36-yard line, be careful.
Yeah, and not just watch out for the fake, but you got to be careful to get drawn off sides here. Any kind of mistake is going to give them a free first down, and we already see what they do with free first downs. Great job, by the way, on that last play. Max Carr running the alley, making a tackle that stopped the Geneseo runner right in his path.
Back in punt formation, they do send it that direction, and a good high kick sends Nico Delagiannis to the far side of the field toward the sideline, and then bounces laterally out at the 24-yard line for the Silver Streak. So a good defensive start for Gillsburg. In fact, both teams deny the opposition a first down, and it's back to the Silver Streaks with 7:57 to go in the third quarter, trailing 14-7. Yeah, I want to mention. Go ahead, Jake.
No, I was just going to say we see the benefit of a good kicking game here, you know, and Geneseo has a punter that's been able to flip the field a couple of times, and the Streaks now having to go 75 yards mistake free and drive the field is it's a difficult task.
Out of the wishbone, hand off to the first man, the up man, Cannon Klein. Not much there.
Nothing at all.
If you were with us for halftime and heard Sean Hickey's interview with the two principals, including Jeff Houston, was giving a lot of credit to the marching band. And I got to tell you what, we were very impressed by what we saw in week one, and it's only gotten better. There's only two more home games for these Silver Streaks, and I'll tell you what, the band is definitely a worthy part of this show.
No doubt.
Nothing cacophonous about what they put together out on that field. It's a joy to listen to and a joy to watch. Connor Ayton's flushed out of the pocket, rolling left after a short gain on first down by Klein. Connor loses that yard back. and it'll be 3rd and 10. So what do you do on 3rd and long here? Connor got pushed out of bounds, too, so the clock stops with 7:18 to go in the third quarter. It's just not been there all night for the Silver Streaks. And they need long yardage here, which they've struggled to get.
Coach talked about repping those shot plays, you know, and now's the time. You know, we got to take a shot here somehow.
Ayton rolling out under pressure and throws it toward the sideline with nobody there. Nobody within 15 yards of that ball. He just threw it away. The clock stops with 7:11 to go. And the Streaks trailing 14-7 and looking to give it up on downs here.
And it's, you know, hopefully Connor can get a good punt in and try to flip the field the way the Geneseo punter was able to do as well.
So 7:11 is where the clock stops. 3 here in the third quarter. 4th and 10 for the Silver Streaks. Ayton back at his own 11. Gets it away. Geneseo puts some pressure on, but a good kick by Connor. Bounces at the Geneseo 48 and takes a big Gelsberg roll down inside the 35. Gelsberg downs it at the 32.
Well done there.
So flip the field again. 7:02 to go third quarter. Back into the hands of the Maple Leafs. Oh, it's not real exciting to watch, especially from the fan standpoint, but I'll tell you what, if you appreciate defensive football, you're really having a good time watching these two teams go at it here tonight. You got to appreciate the defense.
Yeah, and we talk so much about, you know, sometimes the lack of offensive production, but you do have to tip your cap. You know, these defenses are geared up and coached up just as much as the offenses, and right now they're definitely controlling the game. We need a turnover here to get things going.
Hand off to the right
side.
Good
tackle.
Good hit.
Well done.
Good hit to finish off that play. Is that Vaynerman?
Vaynerman in there finishing things off. Kaden Klein's in there coming off the pile, and it looks like Hunter Davina as well.
They moved the stick forward for a yard.
Carl, the other bookend, Aaron Carl in there on that tackle first.
We're just talking about the band. Sean says that will be his spotlight next week at halftime.
Very good. Homecoming show, it'd be a good one to come out and see for sure.
Well, they'll be promoting the homecoming show.
Gotcha.
Next week, because we are on the road at Quincy.
Oh,
boy. I'm not letting you guys get out of that one. Gotcha. You got out of the Centralia trip. I'm not letting you out of Quincy. Now we got a flag down on the Gelsberg sideline, and the line judge over there is pointing at the Gelsberg players. We're going to have a sideline warning here, I'm guessing. That's what it is. So now Mike Washabaugh heading out there to say, all right, what did you hear? What did you see? What's going on over there?
Sideline violation on the Streaks.
This is where we miss having you down on the sideline to find out what the explanation is. So we just, wireless mic was working great in the pregame. Everything was fantastic and ready to start the game, and all of a sudden, nothing. So we're happy to have Jake up here in the booth with us, especially in the absence of Sean Hickey tonight. And here's a big run across the left side of the line by Mason Jones. A huge hole. Streaks are able to track him down, but not until he gets to the 49-yard line for a gain of 17.
Yeah, they run the jet sweep, and so he goes flat down the line of scrimmage. Quarterback hands it to him, and if he gets the edge, he made a good cut, put his foot in the ground, and got north and south real quick.
So after a big stop on first down, no gain. They get 17 on the second play from scrimmage, and now first down near midfield for the Maple Leafs. Leading 14-7 past the midpoint of quarter number three here at Van Dyke Field. Again out of the wing tee. Fake handoff. They go to the wing out of the right, and it's going to Jones again, who gets to the left side, and then the Streaks stack him up and push him backwards. Forward progress into Streaks territory to about the 47 for a gain of 4.
And we had the corner, we had Dylan McBride there, you know, kind of turning that play to the inside. And good pursuit, able to still gain 4.5 yards, though, on first down. That's exactly what Geneseo wants to do. They're going to slow things down. They're going to run plays in with their players.
Second and about 6 for the Maple Leafs, again, as they cross into Streaks territory at the near hash mark, 47-yard line. Leafs on top, 14-7, under 5 minutes to play here in the third quarter. They go with a split backfield, two running backs, the toss play, the lead student blockers, body. And some room to run, and then it closes quickly as Jones gets hit and run out of bounds at the 45-yard line. Had some lead blockers, but the Streaks were able to penetrate and fight through it. They hold him to a short gain. It'll be third and four, and the officials say he stayed in bounds. His forward progress was stopped in bounds, so the clock rolls.
The old student body left, right? Even the quarterback's leading the way as a blocker. This is football that your parents watched, you know, and your grandparents. This is stuff that's, has kind of made its way out in many offenses, and Geneseo keeping it alive.
Somewhere Woody Hayes is smiling.
Absolutely.
Man in motion left to right, rolling right. The quarterback, McConnell, looking to the far side of the field, and he overthrows Mason Jones, who's been probably the biggest offensive threat tonight for Geneseo. But he overthrew him, and McConnell's done that a couple of times. Fortunately, no pass interference penalty on the Silver Streaks that time. So both teams still unable to move the chains very much. They did have the 17-yard gain that got it into Galesburg territory to the 45. It'll be fourth and four here for the Maple Leafs. But the clock stopped, 4:02 to go, third quarter.
And you are in prime fake territory here on the Streaks' side of the field, and the Streaks are playing defense. I expect them to kick it, though, and make the Streaks prove it that they can go the length of the field, and they do.
And so nobody back. Yep, for the Silver Streaks. Takes a Geneseo bounce at the 19, down inside the 10, down to the 6, almost to the 5-yard line where the Maple Leafs will down it with 3:51 to go. So they don't get more than one first down. They aren't able to advance the ball very far, but now pinning the Silver Streaks deep, and Galesburg's got to find a way to make some first downs here.
Yeah, and you talk about taking shots. You got to take shots. It's hard to take shots, though, when you're starting on the 6-yard line of your own end zone. You have to be careful here. You have to be conservative, and that is what Geneseo wants you to do. And the field position battle is heavily favored on the Geneseo side of things right now.
Four punts in just over 8 minutes of play in the third quarter. 14-7 Maple Leafs, so the Streaks defense keeping them in it. Quick out pass to Gatson, who gets wrapped up by a double team across the 10 to about the 12. It'll be a short gain, but forward progress. He picks up 5.
Yeah.
And close to 6 as they move that stick just a little bit more forward, so we'll give him 6.
We've seen nothing thrown to the middle of the field. Everything we're doing right now is on the edges. And that's probably something Geneseo's doing defensively that I'm not seeing. But with one single high safety, you would think maybe the middle of the field is a little bit open.
To the far side of the field. Now they swing it to Grant Ayton, who gets the first down, slips a tackle, and all the way across the 25 to about the 28-yard line. Ayton's slippery once he gets that ball, and he was able to slip a couple of tackles and a little burst of speed at the end of the play, and now the Streaks make some progress. Out to the 26 and a gain of 14.
Now you start to feel the pace of the game. Try to, swing in the way the Streaks would like to play. A little bit faster. No huddle. Go, go, go.
154 yards through the air for Connor Ayton. 72 of those to Brother Grant. Out of the short gun. Ayton, pump fake. Right.
The shot
now
play.
Going long. Man to man. Gatson, the intended receiver. And he can't catch up to it at the 40-yard line of the Maple Leafs. Falls incomplete.
Yeah, it didn't execute, but I love it right there. That's the shot play we're talking about. Little double move. Geneseo is so well coached and so disciplined that the cornerback did not bite.
Yep.
And Gatson was covered the entire way.
2:45 to go. Third quarter. Streaks trailing by a touchdown. Second and 10 from their own 26-yard line. Mike Washabaugh, still remember, that first week, we were talking about what do we got to do to get the running game going. He said we got to pass the ball better. That's all the Streaks are doing on this play as Ayton rolls out to the right again. Throws it downfield off his back foot, underthrown, and the Streaks have to turn into defenders as Grant Ayton got in there, was able to knock the ball away from the cornerback who had better position for it. Tannen Rink was in position to make the reception, and then Ayton just had to come from the backside and knock it away to prevent the interception.
Yeah, Grant really picks Big Brother up right there. Connor needs to take, I think, in my opinion, he needs to take the shorter route there, continue moving the chains. He had 6 or 7 yards with Justice Gatson, and he went big, and he underthrew it. Throwing that deep ball on the run is a hard thing to do.
Sure is.
And so it's not easy what I'm saying he needs to do by any means. Grant does a great job picking Big Brother up.
Clock stops, 2:38 to go third quarter. Third and 10, Silver Streaks from their own 26. Two wideouts to each side. Ayton looking right again, steps up in the pocket. Now on the run, has to scramble for it. Gets to the 30, 35, dives for the 40-yard line. He's got the first down.
That's a big play.
Slipped inside of Nathan Beneke coming out of the defensive back position. And Connor gains 14 on the scramble and a monster third down conversion for the Silver Streaks.
And he picked himself up there. Connor definitely has the athletic ability to do that and use his legs as a positive gain.
Biggest play on the ground for the Silver Streaks tonight. Hadn't had a single running play go for double digits, and that one got for 14. 2:10 to go third quarter. Streaks trailing by 7. Streaks getting the play from the sideline. Now Ayton comes up under center. Double tight end set. They'll run it. Fake handoff. They do handoff to McBride, and he goes nowhere. So they had one wide out to each side, went double tight end, and ran right into the defense for a loss of about a yard and a half.
Geneseo goes big up front when we bring in the tight ends, and just right now we can't move the ball that way. So he's going to have to, and here come the receivers back. Got to spread them back out. We got to do some things to neutralize their advantages.
Second and 11, Silver Streaks. We roll under a minute and a half to go here in the third quarter with the Streaks trailing by a touchdown. Ayton drops back in the shotgun again. Short drop, swings it to the outside. Gatson comes back for it, picks up 5, gets the first down across the 50-yard line, but you see a flag. I still don't see it.
It's on the outside there.
Oh, there it is, way up there.
They're going to call a hold, and so the culprits are either Grant Ayton or David Vaynerman as the two blockers out there.
So 5 yards into the play is where the holding penalty is, so that's going to take it back to the 35, and it'll be second and about 15.
Right.
Going to try to get you to Cardinals baseball after our broadcast here, depending on whether there's anything left in the Cardinal game. Currently going into the bottom of the fifth with the Redbirds leading 4-0 over Milwaukee on a Paul Goldschmidt grand slam.
Rizzo hit one of those, by the way, today too.
That's fascinating, Jake. Third penalty of the game against the Silver Streaks negates a first down.
There's
a screen pass. They get it complete to Alex Egyptiaco, but it's behind the line of scrimmage, and Egyptiaco is able to pick up only 3 after the reception, and he has not been a target through the first 2.5 games this season. Mm-hmm. So the Streaks trying to catch Geneseo off guard a little bit. It does gain 4, but still brings up 3rd and 11. Ball spotted at the 43-yard line. At the 39-yard line.
I believe they do have to run this play here as time winds down, 30 seconds left to go.
Yeah, I don't think they have enough time to
third quarter.
Hold it either. 158 yards passing for Connor Ayton tonight. First reception for Alex Egyptiaco. First of the season, for that matter. Rolling right, Ayton scrambling. Now has to decide what to do with it. He keeps it, slips a couple of tackles, runs into his own teammate at the 40-yard line. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame Nick Bastion at all for that. He was just trailing, trying to be in position to block, and then Connor got stopped running toward the sideline, had to cut backwards. And that brought the play to an end. He'll pick up 2. It'll be 4th and 9 as the third quarter comes to an end. Streaks trailing 14-7. You're listening to Galesburg High School football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks facing 4th and 9 as we get ready to start the fourth quarter here at Van Dyke Field. Brad Benowitz, Jake Miller with you. WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14, game three of the season, game one of the conference season.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
Geneseo has the better of Galesburg right now, 14-7.
They'll hang the big hat
up on the Streaks facing fourth
so
and nine from their
by
own 41-yard line.
They
do have one man back to receive
and by
on the
Bradley
anticipated punt. Silver Streaks started that drive at the six, so at least they get out of their own position.
Right there
and
where that
Connor
Aiton's
punt, low line drive, and maybe shanked it altogether, kicked it out of bounds to the far side of the field. And the official still walking forward. I thought it was out at about the 38. He saw it differently. Geneseo will have it at the 42. So a directional kick. We'll take the positive side of that. We'll just say that he was aiming for the sideline. Uh-huh. Didn't want any kind of a Geneseo run back. That's what we're going to say.
Okay. You know, the issue is even if the Streaks hold on a three and out, then the next punt is going to be deep in our territory, and we just haven't shown the ability right now to move the football with any consistency. That turnover is going to be key here.
They shift positions, put another man in motion, and the handoff goes to the wingback coming from the left and slipping an ankle tackle, but enough to slow him down as Max Carr finishes off the play close to the 45-yard line. Davina was the one who got pressure, got him from the backside to slow him down just enough. And then Carr came up and finished him off. It goes as a gain of only two for Jones. Streaks strung that out nicely. Didn't allow him to turn the corner.
They switch formations to try to gain strength to that side and gain some leverage out there, and Davina does a fantastic job. You notice the Streaks will switch those bookend sophomores we've been talking about, and Davina tends to play towards the field with Carl usually on the weak side.
Davina's had a nice game defensively. Streaks have had a nice game defensively, but they're down by a touchdown. And just as I say that, they give a big play right up the middle to P.J. Mosier, who the Streaks have held fairly quiet in this game. But he advances the ball all the way across the Galesburg 45 to the 43-yard line. That moves the chains.
Just no major mistakes, you know, and this is the exact kind of football game that Geneseo wants to play. And the Streaks have to continue to work, and they've been preaching it. They got to continue to work to force that big turnover right now.
Down to the Galesburg 43-yard line now after a pickup of 13, and we're under 11 minutes to go in the game with the Streaks trailing 14-7. Defense has to hold tight. It's kept them in the game this whole time. Got to find a way to stop them, get the ball back. Hand off to the right side. A little bit of room to run for Mosier again as he advances the ball close to the 35-yard line, a gain of 8. He'll be second at 2.
And the concern is that we've seen this story play out week one, right? We get into third, fourth quarter, and the Streaks start giving up bigger chunks and bigger chunks and bigger chunks on the ground to these large backs. Hopefully they can find it here or make a substitution here or there and keep the energy up, because another touchdown here would almost seem insurmountable the way our offense is moving the football right now.
Still just a one possession game. Hand off to the left side, stutter stepping, and then Mosier nowhere to go, wrapped up just across the line of scrimmage for a gain of 1. Tried to find an opening up the middle, and then he ran into Kane Johnson, who made the stop, wrapped him up, pulled him down. It'll be 3rd and 1.
And it's 2-down territory here, you know, to make a stop, but you might watch here in this 3rd and short situation. We saw it work once. You might see our defensive line run that little stem and see if we can make 3rd and 1 into 3rd and 6, and now you got something.
Geneseo has not converted a 3rd down yet in the second half.
There's a stem.
Streaks jump a little bit. Geneseo gets around it to the outside to Hofer, who dives forward, gets the first down to the 31-yard line. He picked up 3.
The coaching staff seems to think they saw something moves or somebody move on the sideline. The Stripes disagree.
Would like to point out that Kansas Jayhawks are winning 41-24 at Boston College.
Oh, they played another actual football team too.
Yep.
And they're winning. Wow.
The last time the Jayhawks won a Power 5 game on the road, 11 years ago.
Hmm.
They're up now in the 3rd quarter. But we're not going to take you to that game when we're done here. We're going to get you to the Cardinal game. Handoff left side, cutting up the middle. Good cutback for the turn. And then close to the 1st down by the time the Streaks finally can bring down Mason Jones. Good job by the Streaks to recover. That one could have gone for a lot more.
Yeah.
But it's a yard short of the first down. That one had big play all over it. The Streaks recovered, but still picks up 9 to the Galesburg 22. Jones has been tougher to handle tonight for the Silver Streaks mm-hmm. than any of the rest of the running backs. Hofer's been all right. Moser, of course, had the big game last week in their win. Streaks have held him fairly quiet for just 20 yards, but Jones has been tough to bring down. Second and one here, under 8 minutes to play with the Streaks trailing by a touchdown. Handoff goes to Moser, gets the cross the 20 to the 19-yard line, and that'll be enough to move the chains, picking up 3 more inside the Galesburg 20 now.
We're seeing fatigue and we're seeing, you know, some other things kind of come into play.
I feel like Geneseo's picked up the pace a little bit, too. Now yeah. they're going to slow things down again.
Sure.
As we roll under 7.5 minutes to go in the game. Again, Maple Leafs leading just 14-7, but boy, it feels like a lot more, doesn't it?
It feels like more. You're right. And that's just goes to what we're, you know, seeing offensively up here. We definitely have the capability to put 2 scores in there.
Need to borrow one of those turnovers that they forced against Centralia last week to get
count
one
up.
Here. Yep, they go with a misdirection, and all the way in for the touchdown goes Mason Jones again. He just felt his way through the holes across the line. They were there, and he was patient, found them, and took it all the way in from 19 yards out for his second touchdown run of the night. And now it is more than just a touchdown for the deficit for the Silver Streaks.
Yep. I mean, that's not the nail, you know, in the coffin, but...
Not with 7:07 left,
right,
certainly.
We got plenty of time.
But, boy, they made that look easy, didn't they? 58 yards and 8 plays.
Yeah, that's the concern.
The extra point is good, just inside the right upright, and it's now 21-7 Maple Leafs, 7:07, and that is not a friendly score that we've already seen once this season.
Right.
Silver Streaks need to turn it around in the final 7 minutes of the game, trailing by 2 touchdowns. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Geneseo Maple Leafs, they cover 58 yards in 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Mason Jones finishes it off with a 19-yard touchdown run, his second of the game. And it's now 21-7 Leafs, 7:07 to go in the game. And again, they do what Geneseo does, right? You've got the lead and they add to it by taking nearly 5 minutes off the clock. And the Silver Streaks have struggled to move the ball, now need to be able to move it quickly and 2 different times to get back into this game. The kickoff coming, a spinner to the far side of the field, taken at the 10-yard line by Justice Gatson. Now rolling left, covering his distance from right, from east to west, all the
yeah,
way across the field. And then we got a flag at the end of the play as he's brought down at the 17.
Yeah, that's going to be the, you know, the old horse collar call there. So that's going to be 15 yards tacked on the end of that. And you know, the kickoff field position hasn't been a problem for the Streaks tonight.
Not really.
It's just getting it going from there.
Official still talking this over. There's the official signal. So the personal foul. Only the, third penalty. Yep, just a third penalty against Geneseo tonight. And really from that standpoint, it's been pretty cleanly played. The Silver Streaks have only 3 penalties as well, but one especially.
Extremely
is,
impactful.
Is, really the difference in the game as Geneseo turned a pass interference penalty against the Silver Streaks, which would have given the ball back to Galesburg. Into a first down and then a touchdown on the next play. I'm going to sit down. Let's see if this
Maybe
turns
that works,
things around.
I'll stand up.
Yep.
Let's do that.
First down from the 32 to
There's
the outside. Gatson slips a tackle to the 40. Gets a first down. Run out of bounds at the 45-yard line, and the Streaks pick up 13 on first down And they're close to midfield now, taking just 7 seconds off the clock.
Something we were talking about earlier, I mentioned earlier, haven't seen any routes, you know, even really cross the middle of the field. And he runs that deep crosser, and Connor hits him in stride, and he's able to turn it up and make a good positive gain.
171 yards passing for Connor Ayton now. First down from the 45-yard line. Fifth reception of the night for Gatson. Now a little play to the top of the field intended for Dre Egyptiaco. Falls incomplete. It'll be second and 10.
Looking for the double move there again, and it just isn't there. And they're going to have to continue to make these plays, these chunk plays as we go. Get the ball to our guys, short passing game, and let them make their athletic adjustments.
Again, Cardinal baseball coming up after we're done here, which is 6.5 minutes left on the fourth quarter clock. Cardinals leading Milwaukee 4-0, top of the sixth inning in St. Louis. Second and 10, Galesburg trips three to the near side of the field. Pump fake by Ayton. Now slings it behind Gatson. He reels it in at the 49-yard line, but it stopped immediately there.
Good adjustment.
It was a good adjustment. A good job to hang on to the ball and pretty much double coverage by the time the defenders got there.
So we got third and six, but there's no doubt that from this point on, it's, you know, we're in two down territory, so you do not have to get it all right here.
And now Gatson has become the target of choice here in the second half. It was Grant Ayton early in the game. Egyptiaco toward halftime. And now the last few complete to Gatson. Good defense as Ayton gets a pass away to Gatson at the far side of the field and a first down at the Geneseo 41-yard line.
Unfortunately, we got it.
There's a flag down.
I thought laundry in the backfield.
Yep,
there.
I thought it was good pass protection to free Connor up on the rollout to the right to get that pass away, but the officials are going to signal holding instead against the Silver Streaks, and it will negate the first down.
I saw Jordan Payne in the ball game here, and I think he's in offensively because we watched Kane Johnson run towards the locker room. I haven't seen Kane come back out. So he didn't run in there with any staff. He didn't run in there with, like, a trainer or anything. It could be just a restroom issue, but Jordan Payne there got a little bit taken advantage of, and on the blitz.
All right, so here's the bad news. The Silver Streaks were up to the 49-yard line. The flag was down at the 42, so this essentially is a 17-yard penalty.
Yep.
That negated a first down. Ayton going long, man-to-man coverage, far side of the field, and Geneseo picks it off inside the 25-yard line, rather, as it was intended up the far side of the field for Dre Egyptiaco, and then the ball just kind of held up and fell down short of Egyptiaco, and Geneseo was there to pick it off. Third interception of the season thrown by Connor Ayton. And now the Maple Leafs take over with 5:42 to go in the fourth quarter, leading by two touchdowns. And again, they took just a minute less of that off the clock on their last possession, which ended in a scoring drive. So the Maple Leafs have it on their own 23. And coming up under center, McConnell. Handoff left. Mosier to the 25, about the 26-yard line. He'll pick up three on first down.
Guys are in there ripping and pulling. It's not for a lack of trying.
Well, this would be the place to get it.
Yeah.
This field territory that the Streaks can force a turnover. And they're going to burn a timeout here. Stop the clock with 5:23 to play. And it's kind of to that point where the Streaks have to take some chances, trailing by two touchdowns and under 5.5 minutes to go. And as well as Geneseo has controlled the line of scrimmage here in the second half to take time off the clock. I guess we did not use a timeout.
No, it wasn't. The ref stopped the ball.
Was that an equipment issue?
Yeah, I think they were that are helping a player up.
I thought it was kind of early to start using timeouts.
Right.
It makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Second and 8, but Geneseo certainly will take as much time as possible. Of course, the clock rolls after the running play, so the official's timeout does not stop the clock, and now we do have a timeout.
And that's Geneseo taking that. I don't know if they have a personnel issue they're trying to fix, but
So let's take a quick timeout as well. 4:55 to go in the game. Streaks trailing by 14. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com. All right, we'll keep it here. The Cardinal game has moved to the bottom of the sixth with the Redbirds still leading 4-0. Seen any high school? I'm just going to start looking for some high school scores here. Have you seen anything, Jake, since the last update we had?
28-14, Moline over Rock Island.
All right.
Knoxville finished off their win, I think, 48-0. Still looking around here.
I don't feel like I've seen as many.
Centralia was getting beat by two or three Muscuda. Touchdowns back home. Muscuda,
yep.
Right?
42-13, Princeville over West Central. Now flags as Geneseo gets the play underway coming out of the timeout. That's a false start. Guess I'm not following the right people because I'm just not seeing as many scores tonight as I feel like I usually do. I don't know where all my people I rely on have gone. Only the fourth penalty of the night against Geneseo. That'll back them up to 2nd and 13 now. Coming out under center. And the handoff to the right side. Hofer gets to the outside, gets a lead block, frees him up at the 30. Wrapped up and thrown down by Max Carr across the 35 to about the 37-yard line. And that goes as a gain of 11. It'll be 3rd and 8. And a big stop for the Silver Streaks needed to come up here. Nope, they do move the chains.
First down.
He got all the way to the 38. All right, yep. So that goes as a gain of just enough.
Yep, the
he needed 12, he got 12.
Streaks came up in a six-man front there, and that's the thing. If you can get to the outside, you just don't have enough linebackers and safeties to run those things down. And we saw him get to the edge.
Which may have been why Geneseo called the timeout there, if that's
right.
What they saw happening.
Yep.
All right, handoff up the middle. Bozer bounces to the outside, runs into three Silver Streaks defenders, and they strip the ball out and got it back
got it
at
back.
The 38-yard
okay.
line. Three
right.
Silver Streaks in there. Aaron Carl, David Vaynerman, and I didn't see who the third one was, but there's the turnover the Streaks have so desperately been seeking, and they get the ball back with 4:40 to go at the Geneseo 37-yard line.
So we got hope, right? Hope's alive here and a quick score, and you know, who knows? Maybe you can even you get a quick one here, you can still kick it deep, use your timeouts.
Geneseo scrambling defensively, and now a flag.
And that's going to be encroachment. Yep.
So that'll be 5 yards against the Leafs. Streaks took advantage of it. Geneseo didn't look ready. They looked thrown off by something, maybe by how quickly the Silver Streaks got the offense out, got ready to go. Now 1st and 5 from the 34-yard line, and no time off the clock. 4:40 to play. Streaks down by 2 touchdowns. Out of the gun. Vaynerman in motion. Connor back to pass, flag down, throws it across the middle. There it is, down the middle.
Yep.
First time we've seen it, but he overthrew Gypsyako, and we got a holding call against the Streaks anyway. More holdings tonight than I think we've seen all season. That's going to put the Streaks up to near midfield now. Again, only 4 penalties against the Silver Streaks, but they've really come at bad times. Okay, so it's the holding penalty was across the line of scrimmage, so it backs him up 6. The rush is on. Connor gets it away, and he had a man open in Gatson at the 42, but he overthrew him as the rush was really on. 3 white jerseys were coming at him hard, and it'll be 2nd and 16 now.
Streak's trying to go quick here. Spread him out. Continue to spread him out. They have the soft routes, and they don't have to get everything at once here.
From the Geneseo 44-yard line, 4:32 to play, down 2 touchdowns. 3 wideouts to the right. Ayton looks that direction, gets it to Gatson, and threw his fingers again at the 45-yard line. I don't know if he just took his eyes off it or what happened. The ball was right to him. little bit high, I guess, but still very catchable. And now third and 16 and maybe rushing too much. No need to panic here. Got to take advantage of the time you have. There's still a lot of time.
Well, you can't tie it up if you don't get the first score. And
right.
So this has to get accomplished.
Back to pass. Ayton on the rollout. Oh, underthrows Gatson this time. And it'll be fourth down. So those were quick three plays to fourth down. But as you mentioned a moment ago, Jake, no time to wait. You got to go for it on fourth down here, down by two touchdowns with 4:25 to play.
Yeah, I don't know if we have anything in the old toolbox, something trickery here, like we saw Geneseo use to get on the board. But fourth and 15, there's not a lot of plays in the playbook to call for that.
From the Geneseo 44-yard line, Ayton back to pass. To the far side, they get it to Gatson again. Slips a tackle at the original line of scrimmage.
Still
battling.
He's
gets
go.
The first down and more. Far sideline. Takes it all the way.
Unbelievable individual effort there. They, fourth and 15, we threw a 7-yard pass, and he made at least four tacklers miss. All right, just kind of sidestep it, and he keeps the streak's hopes alive here.
Yep.
Got to get the extra point, but there is a chance.
A 44-yard touchdown play, all after the catch, essentially. That was only half the distance that the Streaks needed to get to the first down, and just sheer will by Justice Gatson to run it 44 yards and get the Streaks within a touchdown here. His first touchdown of the season. Olivas's extra point kick is up and good, and it's 21-14, and now 4:14 to play. And you know the Streaks are going to try something here. Do they have the ability to get an onside kick?
I don't know that they have to right here. They have, let's see, looking at the scoreboard, they have all three of their timeouts. I don't necessarily know that they have to do that here. Now, Geneseo has been moving the football this entire second half, so that's got to be something Coach Wash is going to weigh on as well. So it could happen here. It might not.
Silver Streaks turned the ball over, leading 7-0 back in the second quarter. Geneseo, on its next possession, took it downfield and scored. The Streaks here forced a turnover, and on an incredible fourth down effort by Justice Gatson, converts into a touchdown. And now the Silver Streaks trail by 7 with 4:14 to play in the game. I would just like to point out, Jake, this happened after we both were sitting down.
Yes, let's.
So yeah, we're just going to stay here.
I think that's a good idea. So this is obviously a different lineup here than we normally see in the Streaks use when they kick off. So the onside is definitely a threat.
Olivas' kick.
There it is.
He goes to the near side.
Never makes it 10 yards.
Yep, didn't even go 10 yards. And then somehow it got across the 50. I don't know how it got across the 50.
I think it hits one of our guys. Yeah, that's the penalty flag.
Yep, boy, that was the official. I don't think he even knew what was going on.
Right.
We couldn't see. All the Galesburg players standing on the sideline were preventing us from seeing how that ball managed to get across the 50 because it was heading straight for the sideline. So somehow somebody from Galesburg got in there.
Yeah.
Got a hand on the ball, kicked it forward. I don't know. That's the reason why it got the 10 yards that it needed to go, right. And then the Streaks recovered it, but the penalty negates it. And Geneseo is going to have it at the 48-yard line, which is probably where the ball would have gone out of bounds had somebody not gotten in there.
Right there, hey, where that giant tree is.
I give them credit for trying it.
And then
right?
You know, I want the sidewalk.
If you at least get in there and try it.
Right.
And they don't see it.
Yeah.
So you got to try something.
Sure, and the coaching staff down there was animated and, you know, that. But even there's no argument now that the penalty was correct. So we need a big stop, and we can use our timeouts to do it.
At the 48-yard line, the Streaks shift at the line of
there's
scrimmage.
There's the end
they
around.
Hand off to Mason Jones. Oh. Skips a one tackle, and a sure tackle by Nico Delagiannis. Holds Jones to a gain of only 2 as he got out in the open field, and Nico wrapped him up and brought him down by himself.
And he really picks up Rakeen. Rakeen was there to maybe make the play at the line of scrimmage, and the guy makes a nice shifty move, and Rakeen held him up just enough to where Nico could help clean it up.
Mason Jones on that carry picks up 3. He's got 2 of the Geneseo touchdowns tonight. Maple Leafs will take as much time as they can here. Second and seven from the Galesburg 45.
Yep, you don't have to use your timeouts yet, but that time is coming.
McConnell under center.
Here's the counter.
Hand off to Jones again. Little bit of room to run. Streaks close him up in the linebacker territory. Still on his feet, but the officials blew the play dead.
Mm-hmm.
And forward progress stopped at the 43, and now Mike Washabal calls a timeout. I think Jones and certainly the Geneseo coaching staff would argue that he was still on his feet, still fighting, but the officials stopped the play.
Yeah.
And it actually helps Galesburg because I think he might have picked up a couple more yards based on the way the pile started to move. It'll be third and four from the Galesburg 42 and a half.
So kind of a renewed vigor here from our defense. We've made a couple good stops. Does Geneseo dare put the ball in the air here? That would be the aggressive play, but obviously an incomplete pass would save the Streaks a timeout and force Geneseo to punt.
Geneseo 1-for-3 on third downs here in the second half. 3-for-9 in the game. Clock stopped after the Galesburg timeout with 3:25 to play in the fourth quarter, and the Maple Leafs leading 21-14. Two timeouts remaining for the Silver Streaks. If they can get another big defensive stop here. Still a pretty decent crowd on hand.
Yep. Trying to get them involved
trying to get them on their feet. Third and four, Geneseo from the Silver Streaks, 42-yard line. One touchdown lead for the Leafs.
Second
fake
back.
Handoff goes to the second man, Hofer.
And we got him
to
stopped.
The outside. He's stopped short of the 40-yard line.
Timeout.
He picks up two, and it'll be fourth and two. And Galesburg uses its second timeout, and Hofer gets up a little woozy. And he looks to be all right and will stay in the game. Just short of the 40-yard line, so it'll be fourth and a long 2.5. So what's the play call here, Jake?
You punt it. You mean for Geneseo?
Yeah.
Well, you got two things to think about. If you get 2 yards, 2.5 yards, because that's a long two. If you get 2.5 yards, the ball game's over and you win. So do you count on your offense to get you 2.5 yards?
But their defense has been solid tonight,
their defense,
too.
And it has been solid. So you can weigh that. I personally, with that solid defense, I take as much out of the Silver Streak offense as I can, and I put them back to the 5 with a good punt. But 2.5 yards wins you this ball game. A punt, and now you still got to play defense for 3 minutes. So, yeah, if this is my call, I'm punting it. But there's a reason I'm sitting up here with you and not down there. So,
well, Geneseo's punter is P.J. Moser, and he's standing back at his own 49-yard line, now backing up to the 48. So they're lined up in punt formation, needing 2.5 yards. Will they stay true with a one-touchdown lead? They do snap it. It's low. He scoops it and then just pooches it down the field, and it bounces Galesburg's direction.
We'll take that.
And Geneseo has to fall on it. It hit at the 21-yard line and then bounced backwards to the 24, where the Silver Streaks will have it. 3:12 to go in the game, and one timeout remaining, trailing by a touchdown.
A few minutes ago, the fact that we have a ball game and the Streaks with a chance to tie it, I just wouldn't have thought that, right? But the great offensive play by Justice Gadsden, and here the Streaks with one timeout, 75 yards to go and 3 minutes to do it is definitely doable here.
Short snap. Ayton, pump fake. Looks long. Intended for Egyptiaco, and underthrows it, and it's picked off by Tanner Ricken and down the near side of the field, and he steps out of bounds, and there's a flag down back at the 30 where two Geneseo Maple Leafs were tied up with Nick Bastion. So the interception intended for Egyptiaco, and he just underthrew it.
Yeah, the penalty is going to be on Geneseo, but the interception is going to stand. Underthrew it. He's got to get that ball to the outside. That's a sluggo route, right? So he's going to fake the post or the slant and then run the go. So that was a shot play. And the ball just didn't make it to him.
But it's after the interception, so the turnover still stands.
The turnover stands.
So they indicate the penalty against the Maple Leafs, but Geneseo is going to get it back with 3:03 left. And now Galesburg needs another big play, but now with only one timeout to stop the clock. Geneseo will keep everything on the ground. And certainly if they get a first down at any juncture here on this series, the game will be over. So the Streaks need to make something huge happen here. And they scramble to get to the line of scrimmage and get set defensively. Hand off to the right. Moser gets down low. Vaynerman wraps Moser him up across the 40 to the 38-yard line. It'll be a pickup of three, and Gelsberg calls its final timeout. Well, clearly Justice Gatson is our leading candidate for Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, but boy, would I love to see somebody else get it, because that means they'd be making something else huge happen here.
It's going to take that to get us back in here, yeah.
Again, we'll get you to Cardinals baseball after we're done here on the broadcast. They've added three more in the bottom of the sixth. St. Louis now leading 7-0 over Milwaukee and still batting. Paul Goldschmidt had a grand slam earlier in the game. So the Cubs won, from what you're telling
me
from earlier.
They won big.
So the Cardinals trying to keep that four-game lead and knock Milwaukee another game back.
Yeah, personally, I'm cheering for the Cardinals. I would like them to sweep as well as us so we don't lose any ground on them and we knock Milwaukee out of the race.
How many people I talk to just don't like Milwaukee? And they'd rather see the rival win, whether it's the Cubs talking about the Cardinals or the Cardinals talking about the Cubs. They'd rather see them win than Milwaukee. Here's a big run by Jones. Who else? And he gets the first down across the 30 to the 27-yard line, and the Streaks have used their final timeout now. So now,
that's gonna do
let's
it.
See, with a 40-second clock, 40, minute 20, it'll be close.
Yep.
They may not be able to run it out entirely, but for all intents and purposes, we'll be able to salt this game away now.
Yeah.
And this one will sting like a gall nipper for the Silver Streaks to have had the opportunity. They were right there with the ball, played tremendous defense to get the ball back, and have a chance with 3:12 to go in the game. And then to give it right back, and now Geneseo can just run out the clock after getting that first down by Mason Jones, who I think would be their Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game if they had the equivalent on their side. He's had two touchdowns and over 100 yards rushing now.
Yeah, this one hurts because, you know, many weeks you go out there and you tip your cap because sometimes you're outmanned or you're outgunned, you know, scheme wise or whatever. And tonight I just don't get that. I just don't get that feeling. I just, you know, I won't be able to talk with Coach Wash after the game, but I have a feeling that, you know, we're just going to be talking about just some missed opportunities, that penalty that really hurt us before the hook and lateral. And, you know, just some overthrows here and there. And,
been right
gosh
there.
Gosh darn it. It's not for a lack of trying and prepping and all those things. It just hasn't fallen our way.
Paul Goldschmidt just hit another home run.
That's great.
A three-run dinger.
Guys got a lot of RBIs tonight.
That's seven RBIs. And Milwaukee has only two hits.
Ugh.
So, first down, Geneseo from the 28. Handoff to the right side goes to Hofer. And he gets close to the 25-yard line, runs into Aaron Carl, who takes him down for a short gain. But, again, under 2 minutes to go now. That's all they need, just a yard or two here. Run a play.
So they won't snap this one until about 1:25 on the clock. And they won't have to snap another one again until about the 30 to 25-second mark. It's just... the math doesn't add up at this point.
Next week, again, Streaks travel to Quincy. 2 weeks from tonight, homecoming with Rock Island in town. And again, a chance to get out and see the band as well as come out and support the Silver Streaks. Running play to the left, stopped at the 25-yard line. And again, Sean will talk with band director Andy Empey next week during our halftime show and be able to find out a little bit more about what they're up to and all the hard work they've put in. The Silver Streaks team certainly has put in hard work as well, but it's not going to produce a victory here tonight with under a minute to go, trailing by a touchdown. And to be so close, defense has really been stellar through these first three games, and frustrating to come out just 1-2.
Yeah, it is. And the staff here, knowing these guys, I mean, this isn't a moral victory kind of night.
No.
It's not something that they're going to buy into. They're going to go back to the drawing board, and they're going to get ready for Quincy. I mean, that's all you can do is continue to move forward, continue to make improvements. I don't know what you pinpoint. I'm not there at practice every day, so I don't know what you can say that just this one thing or these two things need to get better. But ultimately, the Streaks need to have the confidence and to know that they can play. They can compete with everybody out there that they're playing with. It's just right now, it's turning that corner, and what's gonna get that corner turned for them? I don't know. These coaches will get it done.
Yep.
But I don't know at this point.
Oh, it would have been certainly this is the kind of game that could have helped create that confidence. Instead, the Streaks will still continue to search for it. And I feel bad for Coach Wash. The Streaks don't have a win at home. The only two wins in his tenure have both been on the road. And, gosh, with 3:12 to go in the game, we thought maybe they'd be able to put enough momentum together to make it happen. But the Streaks' third turnover of the game gave it right back to Geneseo, and all the Maple Leafs had to do was run it out here with 42 seconds to go. And after using their final timeout, they ran the play clock all the way down. So they'll snap this one in victory formation, as the saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
now
gonna
he's going to run back.
He got past the 40-second clock.
Yep, he run backwards and faced the scoreboard so he could watch the clock.
Yep.
And didn't down himself until he got back to the 38-yard line, because that's when the clock ticked under 40 seconds, and he knew that they wouldn't have to run a fourth down play. So the Streaks are going to fall 21-14. The defense continues to be effective, good enough to win games, but unfortunately still only one in the win column. And for the Silver Streaks, they start off the conference at 0-1. And Geneseo improves to 3-0 on the season. Post-game show and a visit with Mike Washabaugh all ahead, including our final stats and our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Stay tuned here for Silver Streaks Football on WGIL. Post-game coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. And by the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Power is the biggest touchscreen a truck has ever seen. But when you surround it with 19 speakers, back seats that do front seat things, and end up Motor Trend's 2019 Truck of the Year, that's the power to innovate. Come to Ram Power Days, going on now at Yem in Galesburg, with great deals on the most powerful lineup of pickups. Shop Ram Power Days, going on now at Yem, North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
Tax and license stock fee extra. With approved credit, not all leases will qualify.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm. All it takes is one mistake before you're on the hook for a fortune. Call today to protect your family's assets. Clear skies expected for this evening with a low of 54. Tomorrow, sunny, high 81. Then for tomorrow night, becoming partly cloudy, chances of showers and thunderstorms through the overnight hours, and a low of 64. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 68 degrees here on WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
fall to Geneseo tonight, 21-14. Galesburg down by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter and got a 44-yard, well, catch and run. Can't really say a pass play, but a pass to Justice Gatson, a catch, and ended up about a 7-yard pass play. And then Gatson fought off defenders on three different occasions on a fourth down play when the Streaks, it was do or die at that point. And Justice did, and he ended up taking it 44 yards for a touchdown that got the Streaks back into the game down a touchdown. And for that, Justice Gatson is our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. He ends up as the Silver Streaks' leading receiver on the night, 7 catches for 93 yards. So on that note, let's go ahead and run through our post-game statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Connor Ayton finished with 219 yards passing tonight on 32 attempts, 2 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions as well, the last one denying the Silver Streaks an opportunity to come back after the Galesburg defense had stopped Geneseo at the Galesburg 41-yard line. Silver Streaks did not allow Geneseo, after the Maple Leafs took over at the Streaks 48, to get a first down, and the Streaks took over and had a chance with 3:12 to go if they could put a scoring drive together, but the interception ended it, and the Maple Leafs come away securing the victory 21-14. So the rest of our statistics, Galesburg finished with just 66 yards on the ground, Ayton the leading rusher with 10 carries, 35 yards. It was a struggle for Dylan McBride, 10 carries for 17 yards. He was minus 2 in the second half. Cannon Klein carried it twice for 7. Max Carr, on a fake punt by the Silver Streaks, a direct snap to Carr as one of the blockers setting up for the punt, the direct snap to him, and he rushed it 4 yards for a big fourth down conversion early in the game for his only carry, and David Vaderman had a 3-yard run on the night. Of the 219 yards passing for Ayton, as we mentioned, Gatson, the leading receiver, with 93 yards, including that 44-yard touchdown. Grant Ayton, 4 catches for 72 yards and a 37-yard touchdown for the Streaks' first score of the game on their first possession back in the first quarter. David Vaynerman had a 10-yard catch. Andrea Gypsiaco had 5 receptions for 40 yards, 219 yards receiving for the Silver Streaks in this loss here tonight. For Geneseo, they had 173 yards on the ground, 101 of them to Mason Jones on 13 carries. Jones had 2 touchdowns of 33 yards and 19 yards. He had the first and third touchdowns of the game. The second one was the one that seemed to be the real backbreaker for the Silver Streaks. Tie ball game late in the second quarter. Galesburg would have taken over on downs. Geneseo had a pass play down the near sideline on fourth down that was overthrown. Clearly would have been incomplete and no chance to convert on fourth down, but Galesburg got called for a pass interference penalty, and that gave Geneseo new life and a new set of downs at the 20. And the very next play, McConnell on the hook and ladder passed it 7 yards to Mason Jones, who then lateraled to Kyle Hofer for the final 13. And that was the touchdown that really seemed to make the difference in making it tough on the Silver Streaks here tonight as they ended up losing it 21-14. So those are our post-game statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Again, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Justice Gatson, for that 44-yard catch and run, the yards after the catch, and gave the Silver Streaks hope, pulled them back within a touchdown, and they had a chance to come back. But just couldn't get the rally together, and Geneseo ended up running out the clock after the second interception. So Justice Gatson, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Dave's Auto Body on Grand Avenue in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Take a time out here, come back, cover more of the post game. And Jake went down, tried to chase down Coach Mike Washabaugh, who headed to the locker room pretty quickly. So we're certainly hoping to get a few words with Coach Wash before we close out our broadcast and again get you to Cardinals baseball for the rest of that game from St. Louis, where the Redbirds were leading Milwaukee 10-0 at last check. 2 home runs for Paul Goldschmidt tonight, 7 RBIs. Here Geneseo wins at 21-14. Back with more from Van Dyke Field as our post-game coverage continues on WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
Looking for quality cabinets but don't think you can afford it? RP Lumber Designers can work with any budget. They'll show you how to have the quality cabinets you want at a price you can afford. They'll help you make your Pinterest dreams come true. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
Introducing the $1 yoga deal.
Breathe in. And Nama, see you later.
Or get a real deal at McDonald's. Introducing the buy one, get one for a dollar deal. Buy one of your faves and pick another for just an extra buck. Choose from the Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pounder with cheese, or 10-piece chicken McNuggets. But you better stop by McDonald's today, because this deal is only around for a limited time. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any offers or combo meal.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks fall tonight 21-14 to the Geneseo Maple Leafs. They start off conference play at 0-1 as Geneseo improves to 3-0 on the season and victorious in their first ever Western Big Six conference football game. Elsewhere in the Big Six, we do see that Quincy handled United Township as expected, 55-21 in that game. So the Blue Devils are on top of the conference along with Geneseo. Last check, Moline was leading Rock Island. Still kind of scrolling through here. Trying to find a score. Rock Island was down by a touchdown with 12 minutes to go in the game. But I didn't see the actual score, but I do know they were hanging in there, much as the Silver Streaks were doing in this game, and just not able to get over the top. Morton, which the Silver Streaks will play next year in their second non-conference game of the year, was a winner over Canton tonight, 33-14. But we're still looking for some of those other Big Six scores, including Sterling and Alleman. The Pioneers were 0-2, only winless team in the Big Six, while Sterling was one of two 2-0 teams, including Geneseo, which again goes 3-0 now. Okay. Moline just scored again just within the last couple of minutes, so the Maroons are now up two scores again on Rock Island, 35-21, and just a little over 5 minutes to go in that game. So they don't, Moline that is, doesn't have it in hand yet, but a little more cushion there to try to go 1-0 in the conference and get to 2-1 on the season. And Ridgewood defeated Mid-County 22-14, so Ridgewood now 3-0 on the season and gets a win to open up its Lincoln Trail Conference play. We will take a final timeout here, and I haven't seen Jake yet, but we still may hear from Coach Mike Washabaugh yet. Again, with some issues with our wireless mic, we sent Jake down to try to catch Coach Wash visiting with the rest of the media, at least outside the locker room, and he's hustling up here now, so we'll see if we'll have Coach Wash when we come back and be able to get you that, as is a traditional part of our post-game coverage. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be ready to close things out when we come back here on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You thought winter was rough on you until you saw your driveway. Holy potholes! If you need help in the concrete department, call Courtright Construction. They're concrete craftsmen who have a reputation of exceeding expectations. Give them a call. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
Don't pack up your barbecue. Let the barbecue come to you. Why not have the perfect deck in your own backyard? RP Lumber carries the latest quality composite decking materials you need to have a maintenance-free deck. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
So you're thinking about selling your car, but you want to know how much money you're going to get.
Go to KellyBlueBook.com, type in your vehicle's info, and get an instant cash offer. Then bring your car to us at Galesburg Toyota, and we'll put that money in the palm of your hand. I might even sweeten the deal if I can. I'm GM Tony Batson. We've been buying cars, trucks, and SUVs like yours left and right because we make selling your car easy and fun. I mean, what's more fun than a fistful of cash? And at Galesburg Toyota, culture is everything. See what I mean? When you sell local, sell with confidence, sell your car, Galesburg Toyota.
Online at GalesburgToyota.com.
Well, how's the house selling going?
Not good. We've only had 2 showings and 0 offers. It's been a month. How long did it take to sell yours?
Not long, but we used Century 21. Each listing gets its own website, video virtual tour, and a link to share, so your house gets tons of publicity.
That would help.
They have the largest office in town with 19 agents. They will get your house sold.
For over 60 years, your friends and neighbors have gone with Century 21 Tucker Swanson. When you're ready to buy or sell, visit Century21Galesburg.com or call 34Homes today.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football tomorrow as Illinois takes on Eastern Michigan. Coverage begins at 10 a.m.
Follow the Illini all season long on WGIL.
I don't know where.
Okay, just fitting into a night. We talked about a little bit about the running game, and we talked about how what they were doing defensively was causing us to have to make adjustments and throw the short passing game. And he talked a little bit about the fact that Geneseo is fully platooned, and we struggle with that a little bit, and dealing with. You know, we had some injuries out there and dealing with fatigue, and he said he definitely doesn't use that as an excuse.
But when it does make a difference in the game, it's worth noting, at least.
No doubt it is, and definitely we saw that happen in the fourth quarter. And you know, he made the comment that stuck out is he said, "We'll either live or die as a team if they don't figure out a way to grow from what happened tonight." And I think he's under the same observation is. You know, sometimes you get beat by better teams, and then sometimes it's a little more self-inflicted. And I wonder if that's kind of his thought process here. And just knowing him and his coaching staff, that they're going to get to work, and they'll keep delivering the message to the kids that this has to be learned from and grown from, and they'll show up ready to plug away against Quincy. You know, and it's nobody's going to feel sorry for him. Geneseo is now 3-0. You know, you can say what they want about their schedule; they're 3-0, and they're a playoff caliber football team, and we gave them, just about everything they wanted from us here at home. We just weren't able to turn the corner tonight.
And if you didn't hear when you were down in the locker room, Quincy defeated United Township. Mm-hmm. Really no surprise there. But
no surprise.
55-21 the final. You were on the way back up when I saw the Kiwani score where Brad Swanson is coaching, former Silver Streaks assistant.
Sterling Newman, right?
Lost by 1. 27-26.
Listen, he's got him going.
He does.
He lost on the final play of the fourth quarter last week too. Uh-huh. So he's 2 plays away from being 3-0 instead of 1-2. So we always want to stick and pay attention to what Kiwani's doing and root for Coach Swanson.
Yep, and we know he was really excited once he got up there in the summer and saw how hard those kids were working, and was just really excited to be part of that program and. Being able to get such a hardworking group of kids from everything he was talking about, and he's that close, so He's 1-2 and just as frustrated as we are.
And he still makes contacts with his former Streaks coaches, because I know him and our own Sean Hickey were in conversation with each other. Sean giving ideas about, you know, how to Sterling Newman's, you know, off tackle bone stuff, double tight bone stuff, like similar to what we saw tonight. And Hickey gave him some of the ideas that we would use, or he would use with his defenses. So, you know, the Streaks tradition and blood, you know, runs thick, and we're always here to help, and glad to see him doing well.
Absolutely. So Silver Streaks fall tonight here to Geneseo 21-14. Galesburg 1-2 in the season. Geneseo, as Jake just mentioned, 3-0 and 1-0 in the Western Big Six Conference. So at Quincy next week, as the Blue Devils are 1-0 in the conference. And we'll be there for you, hopefully back to full staff, and looking forward to it.
And fully technical capable as well, I hope.
Yeah, just Friday the 13th, full moon, and yep, we'll throw our hands up.
It's still a fun time, you know. It's always a fun time. But it was a good time to call the game, and yeah, hopefully next week we'll be better.
We'll see you then, Jake.
All right, take care.
And best wishes as well to Sean Hickey, and we look forward to having him back with us next week as well. Well, again, we'll get you to Cardinals baseball coming up, as that game is in the eighth inning in St. Louis. Redbirds leading Milwaukee, and stay tuned for the rest of that game here on WGIL. Again, Justice Gatson, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game tonight, and that'll close out our broadcast from Van Dyke Field. We'll see you next Friday night at Quincy. Good night for now.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.